The Veteran Gamers Podcast is not for children, okay? So if you're listening and you're under the age of 18, turn the f***ing show off, you piece of shit.
Stand by for pre-show banter.
Yo.
Hello.
I'm assuming you've given Ben the link, have you? Oh, hello.
Do some more.
How you doing?
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, that's effects. We got you. Wow.
Loud and clear.
Oh my god, so many steps. I'm just so like
I'm just gonna wait for Ben. You want me to give it? He's online on Discord. Do you want to shout him and go, where are you?
No, I don't think that's necessary. Let's give him another couple minutes to see.
I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm doing it.
Let's do it.
What's happening here.
There he is.
Hi, how's the mic sounding? Can you hear me?
Sounds great.
And now you're like an old man. It's that long since we've spoken.
Oh, dude, I just turned 29. And like,
29?
Do you know what, right? The creep of the 30. I was like, it's not a real thing, but I'm feeling it now. Now it's getting nearer. Wow. I'm feeling it.
I bet now you're like thinking, like dreading going out and getting pissed, aren't you? You're like, oh, who wants to go out and get pissed?
I would say that, but I've been doing that the last few weekends. So I think at the minute, I'm not accepting that I'm getting old. I'm still thinking, I'm 18, just keep going. And then I'm burning out and like...
It takes me 3 days to recover now. 3 days.
Yeah, that's it.
Ben, do me a favor. Can you tilt your camera down a little bit?
Oh, we want to see more of you. More of you, Ben.
I just want your chin cut off. All right. I think all systems are go. Can we just confirm? I'm going to play the audio a little bit here.
Right. Yeah, that looks good. Thank you. All right. I think all systems.
This sweet Duke is all for you. Whatever you want to talk about, you can go on for as long as you want.
Shut up, Duke.
Yeah,
shut up,
Ben. All right. Let's go ahead and do this show because hokey smoke, what a bunch of stressful stuff.
Let's start the motherfucking show, bitch.
Come back, Chinny. I need you to do some of this stuff because it's so very stressful.
Welcome, yo, to the Veteran Gamers. Juju, Chinny, are the fellas will tell you about it.
The communication process broken down. Week.
News, reviews, and an indie
pick.
F*** this
game.
Juju's story time and Chinny's game breakers. Here comes Juke with the soundbite saviors.
Sex noises into the microphone for 10 seconds.
It's the Veteran Gamers.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, boy.
Bitcoin ain't nothing but soybeans on the computer.
Before you have to press repeat, y'all.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Hello and welcome to episode 743 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Yeah, 743, baby. I'm Duke.
I'm Stu.
And I'm Ben.
Ben is here because Chinny ain't not here.
Yeah, Chinny's slacking. He's slacking again.
He's fine. You know, he's gone. He mentioned last week he's taking Tara to go see Shakespeare's baby home or something.
Do you know what, though? Do you know what, though, dude?
What?
You know, though? Do you know what, though?
What?
If, you know, Chinny tracks all the games we've played on a spreadsheet weird thingamajob.
That's correct.
I bet if we tracked who hadn't attended the show the least, you know what? I reckon Chinny would be winning by a long way, just saying.
Probably. I don't begrudge him the occasional absence, but I was absent. No, I wasn't absent. I stuck around until the right time. I was to go to the concert.
You know, I genuinely think I've only ever missed about three shows in the whole
You
time
get the perfect attendance award, Stuart. Yay!
But,
congratulations,
Stu. Can I just say, one of them, I was in hospital with heart failure, so I think I had a really valid reason for that.
Like
one.
Anybody f***ing gives a shit.
It's fine. We get a chance to bring in different people.
I mean, he did make a baby while doing the Veteran Gamers, you know.
I don't think he was
I don't think he was actually broadcasting
the baby-making process.
While he was making a baby.
Chinny, do you like Grand Theft Auto? Oh, yes! Yeah.
I don't think Tara would be too excited.
Sex noises into the microphone for 10 seconds.
I know I promised you a sexy time tonight, Tara, but I've got to do the show, so I was just going to combine both those activities.
Yeah.
Well, how's your week been anyway? Both of you? You up to anything exciting?
It's been spring break week. Yay! And now spring break week is over, and I've had to grade papers out the butt, and, but it's going okay. I was really nervous about making sure
you've
I
been
get everything
grading,
done here.
You've been grading papers out your butt.
Anyway,
how the hell does that work?
For those listening, check it. Normally, Chinny does the Zoom and the broadcasting. Because he's gone, I have to do the Zoom and the broadcasting, and I also
you
am
do.
In charge of recording audio, and I'm in charge of the sound effects here. So I'm doing a whole lot this week. Thanks a lot for being gone, Chinny.
Yeah,
Chinny. Fortunately, Stuart always picks up a lot of the slack, so, you know.
No,
I do. I pick
here,
up loads of the slack.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Chinny not being here, I wouldn't be here, so thank
and
you, Chinny.
And it allows
yeah,
Ben
exactly.
to come here, so yeah.
It does allow Ben.
It's all good. How about you, Ben? How's your week, Ben?
Yeah, it's been good. I went and saw The Orb yesterday.
Oh,
you lucky bastard.
Yeah, my dad got me into them when I was like 11 years old. I was
in
a charity shop hunting, and my dad found the single of Pink Fluffy White Clouds, right?
Oh, nice.
And he literally went, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And he's like, his eyes lit up. We're like, what? He's like, I can't explain it. We need to buy it. Get out of the shop, and then I'll explain how valuable this is. And then he come out and went, oh, what is it? Was it like something Billy Pounds? He went, this is the greatest sound you ever hear. And we all got in the room and we got in the car and he played it.
Yeah.
And my 11-year-old head could not comprehend what was going on. I was like, Dad,
when you were a child.
Yeah. I mean, can I just say, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but recently somebody put up the original interview on YouTube so you can listen to the original interview where it...
I don't know if I really love that interview very much.
It's quite weird because obviously she answers loads of other questions and it is weird and she was some sort of artist who did the interview. And it's kind of weird because all you can hear is the music, even though there is no music. It's just weird. Yeah.
So Ben, how was the concert? Did they have interesting visuals along with it?
Yeah, the visuals were super trippy as you'd expect. And I think someone had figured out, you know, AI art. And they were like,
we're
just putting a load of random stuff in. And it was incredible. I was like, wow, they all have a budget of this. And then when we looked on, I looked, it was like, oh, no, they just probably just generated lizard in a church. And like, it looked like lizard people in
the
church.
That's weak, though, because The Orb can afford to hire some
artists. Maybe it was.
I hope it was.
But no, the music was really good. They played some
of
their like
mix of old and new.
Yeah. And then at the end, there was about, because I brought my brother and my dad for his anniversary. I brought him a ticket. So it was nice to have a gig, you know, with your father, like have a good dance of him. And at the end, he pointed at me and my brother because we were like one of the youngest in the crowd. And he played some hard drum and bass and he played some hard dubstep. And it was so funny because my dad and everybody else was like, what the hell is going on? I was like, Dad, this is what I listen to. This is
what the
cool kids listen to.
And your dad's like, what the fuck is this? By the way, I was saying today I should do a drum and bass mix.
Do some double drops. And hype step in the arena.
Talking of concerts, I was looking at getting tickets for Orbital, but they were all sold out, so I was a bit pissed off about that. So that was a shame. But I've got to say, you know, the French band AIRA.
Yeah, we were just listening to Moon Safari last night.
Oh, great album. Do you know that's such a great album? But anyway, they're fucking milking it, they are. They are absolutely
sexy
milking
boy.
How much they're charging?
They're charging. It's not a huge amount. It's about 60 quid a ticket.
That's
but then they're
not too bad.
But then they're selling on resale sites for about 150 quid.
Bro.
Right? But they're only playing Moon Safari, right? Live. So that's all they do. So the concert itself only lasts about an hour. But they're doing two concerts a night. So they're doing two a night.
Oh, that's brave.
So they're doing one starting at 7 o'clock and finishes about whatever time that finishes. And then another one straight
afterwards. Well, if you said it's an hour, it would be 8, I think.
Well, yeah, but there'll be some shit on before it or whatever.
Yes, there will.
But yeah, they're just milking it. And I'm just like, and it's in London only. So I'm like, I ain't paying to go down to London and then for an hour's concert. No way, Jose. Even though I'd love to.
Well, right. And that's the question. Like, I remember when the Orb live album came out, it was one of the first techno, you know, electronic music live albums I can remember appearing. And I thought, is that really worth it? Is it going to be that different? And then I heard it. I'm like, holy crap, this is worlds apart from their studio stuff. So it depends on... There are some artists, I think, that are worth seeing live and some that, you know, are going to be pretty predictable.
I remember,
I don't
did
know
you
if
see
Air
the...
Is...
I remember you saying you saw the orb. Did you go to the desert one? I remember you were going to go to the desert. Yeah.
No, I've never seen the orb live.
Oh, because
I saw Orbital, I think, twice.
Oh,
live.
Maybe. But I haven't maybe seen it was the
orb. Yeah, I'd love to have seen Orbital live. You know, I love Orbital.
Great. They got little lights on their heads.
Yeah, I'm going down London tomorrow
cool
to go see
about
another
them as
band.
Well, the lights on their heads are
the theory of the Mobius, a twist in the fabric of space
where
time becomes loose. Do you know where that comes from, by the way? Factoid. Do you know where that sample comes from? No, it comes from Star Trek.
Nerd! You know about Star Trek?
I've even said, and the only reason, right, is because I've watched the episode with it in after I've been listening to the Orbital.
That's the reason. Yeah, no, I know.
Oh,
I know what you mean. Oh, snap. Dude, when I first saw the movie Videodrome, holy shit, my brain exploded because like 10 albums sample stuff out of there. And I was just like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
where that comes from. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
Same with They Live. I was just like, dude. So anyway.
Yeah. It is mind blowing.
Anything else, or should we get started? Do we got like a proper story time? Or are we ready to just start talking about video games?
Yeah, not a story time so much as I want to canvas your opinions.
Okay, here, we can do this then. It's been a very long time since we've done this.
Egg time topics.
Go ahead, canvas away.
So this is what I want to know, right?
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Isn't it about time they stopped fucking messing around with the clocks? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like,
all right, that was fun. Join
for
us next week for more egg timer topics.
Sake. I mean, this morning, right? For instance, just to let you know, right?
The UK
I was
just put their
today.
Clocks ahead if you're listening in the US or somewhere else.
Working today.
Yes.
And I had to get up at what was essentially 4:30 this morning.
Yes.
Instead of 5:30. Even though my watch said 5:30. It obviously wasn't 5:30 because I've lost an hour during the night.
You went to sleep a little early because you knew the switch was coming.
I went to bed at 9. Oh, I went to bed at 9, so I did go an hour early.
So it all worked.
But here's you'd have thought that, right? You'd have thought that. But I got myself about 4 weeks ago now, a new smartwatch.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure what was going to happen because the last one I had, you had to connect it to your watch for it to change time.
Okay.
So I'm like, so I thought, what I'll do is, that's fine. I'll account for this. I'll set it for 4:30 to get up because in real time, it'll be 5:30. Right. So it doesn't matter. Fine. Woke up at 3:00 this morning. Looked at the clock. A clock says 3:00. Yeah. Looked at my watch and my watch said 3:00. So I'm like, is that the real time? I don't know. What's happening?
Is time?
Which one's real? So I then know, I looked at my... Then I think, well, I'll have a look what my phone says because maybe the Alexa's wrong, you know, because we've got an Echo Show for for the clock in the bedroom. So I'm like, maybe that's not moved forward and maybe this, I don't know, maybe it's not moved forward. So then I woke myself properly up because then I looked at my freaking phone and it's like, how bright is that?
Yeah.
And that said 3:00, but I still wasn't convinced because then I was like, well, why's my watch changed without being connected to my phone? What the fuck's going on here? So eventually I accepted that the watch was telling the right time, but then because I'd set it to go off at 4:30, I had to then reset the alarm on my phone for my watch. I was like, and now I need a wee because fucking hell, it's in the middle of the night.
I have a simple solution for you. Ready? Stop wearing a watch. That's a 19th century invention that we do not need in 2024.
I love watches.
Yeah, but I know you do, but you have to recognize that it's causing some stress and headache here.
Well, only on one night of the year, and that's why you shouldn't stop fucking...
It clearly makes you angry, but it wouldn't,
messing with
it
the
wouldn't
clocks.
Be a big deal if you didn't have to... I mean, when the time changes for me, like there's the clock on our microwave. That's it. That's the only
reason
it
affects me.
Yes,
but the difference here is Duke, and I don't want to put stress too fine a point on this.
You're not... Okay, go ahead. Stressing me out.
But you don't work weekends, so you don't have to get up extra early because you got to go to fucking work on a Sunday,
Stu,
like I do.
I hear you. But here's the thing. No. Hang on a second, though. If you use your phone alarm, your phone will clock it automatically. They'll be like, hey, I can switch. It's good. Like,
then it makes a noise and wakes everyone else up, you see, because my watch just vibrates on my wrist, so it's fine.
I know why you like wearing a vibrating watch. Don't pretend like it's letting other people sleep. There's another reason you like it.
I strap it around my willy. Yes, dude, that's what I do.
This chat hey, just put the veteran happened? In veteran gamers.
But anyway, the moral of this story is, right?
Don't wear watches.
That my new fancier smartwatch actually changes itself even if it's not connected to your phone,
there
which is kind of cool.
There you go. Well, I would think it should. How much did you pay for this fancy smartwatch?
Oh, this is an expensive one, this one.
Well, if it's it better change itself when the daylight savings happens. Otherwise,
well,
but
you get the time off your phone, so you expect it not to change till it's connected to your phone. But I guess it's fancier than that, so it does it anyway. You know.
Oh, that was totally.
It'll probably not do it when the clocks go back, and I'll be like, "Fuck it out."
Yes, you will, and you'll spend more time complaining about it next week.
I will
or next month.
I will.
As a window cleaner, I agree. Changing the clocks is super annoying
because
I'm working at like 4 o'clock and it's still daylight, 5 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I could keep going. And then all of a sudden it switches and at 3:30, it's like dark already.
Yeah,
so
well,
you can never get those extra jobs
like,
in.
Yeah, driving home in the dark and having it be really extra dark at night. We should just keep it this time. I mean, and I remember hearing a news story about like efforts that people were making to try to change the way that we do the clocks, and apparently candy producers were like very much in favor of keeping the clock switches because you have more daylight to go trick-or-treating or something. And then there's some other trade group that likes having it be dark earlier or whatever. So it's all money at the end of the day.
I thought it was for the farmers originally.
It was for the farmers. It makes no sense now though, because it's nothing anymore.
It's all industrial agriculture. Just, everything's lit up all the time anyway. So
in Europe, they've done away with it. So if we were still part of Europe, we would. Yeah, they've done away with it.
Makes sense.
We wouldn't have.
I hear they're also regulating the internet in some ways, which we are not doing. So they're kind of more enlightened than us. All right. Are we ready to talk about video games, I hope?
Fuck knows. Yeah, my rant's over now.
Okay.
Great. What you been playing?
What you been playing? What you been playing?
Yeah, Ben, you're our guest. It's been a long time since you've been with us, so why don't you start us off?
Ooh, okay, well, I'm talking about the game that I talk about every time I come on, because it's the one drug I can't stop. It's a game called League of Legends. It's like the 5-player MOBA, and recently, the group I play with, there's been a lot of tension in there, because you can only play with on ranks. This is what everyone likes to play. Say you're platinum, you can only play with golds, you can't play with silvers below certain ranks,
right?
And what's happened is me and my friend Ruben, we went on a duo spree where we climbed super high, and when we got platinum, all I can say is my friends that have been playing for 12 years, they have never got out of silver. So they're if they're not listening to this, they're pretty trash.
They
if
suck.
They listen to this.
Yeah,
they try.
They're
so
weak.
All
and
of
you
a sudden,
hate them.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, the pressure on those lot to get higher ranking. So like, they've all got kids, they've all got families, relationships, and they're all just put. The last month and a half, their wives have been texting me going, "Is my husband online right now? Or what is he doing?"
Sounds brilliant.
They turned their backs on what's really important, and now they're
it's been crazy. Like the amount of swindling that's been going on. One of them has. I caught him at 6 a.m. when my brother logged online, and he said to his wife the night before, "Oh yeah, babe, I've got to be up at 6. So yeah, don't worry, though, I'll be all right. I'm a trooper, you know." She's like, "Oh, he's doing so well." Logging at 6 a.m. to League of Legends, not onto Discord. What's he doing? He's appearing offline, but we can tell he's playing League. He's sneaking it in.
Of course he is.
He brought his laptop to work. I know he did. He was sat in his office playing League of Legends. I was
That's
like, dude,
crazy.
We all have a problem. But it's
you know, it's
really
funny. Before you jump in, I played this very briefly. I had a Dota 2 phase, and I was like, MOBAs, and then people were like, you should try League, and I tried it, and it didn't have the same. I don't know, for some reason, I just preferred Dota 2. I think I learned Dota 2 first, so whatever. Anyway, the point is, every once in a while on Reddit, there will be a thread that's like, what's a game you deleted and never looked back? And the top answer is always League of Legends. And there's like thousands of people upvoting, and they're just like, never again.
Yeah, do you know what? There's something about it. I just can't shake it. Like, I had like 3 months where like my friend Ruben had a baby. I was busy with life, and I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna not play it, just have a break. And you know what? 3 months, I was like, I'm doing so well. No withdrawal symptoms. And then all of a sudden, it just takes one text from one of your boys going, fancy a game with there the eye emoji. And you're like, you're back in it. And now you can't shake it.
Sure,
but
sure.
No, it's been quite exciting. Our group that we all play with, they're all determined to get to gold at least. Like, that's the goal for 11 to 12 years we've been trying to, like, get to. And, like, in the end, you just can't. They're lovely, but they're just not good enough. So
this person on the screen is driving me nuts. They're not healing themselves. They're down at like 20% health. I'm like, fucking heal yourself, dude.
Oh, sorry, I know. Refusing to back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a fun adventure with all my friends playing it. But no, I'm really enjoying it. They've done a new update. So they every year or so, they do like a whole new season. So they change the map a bit to keep it engaging.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I like.
Let me ask you a question, Ben. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So, how many hours do you reckon you've put in on this game?
Oh my gosh, I've been playing since I was 16, 17. Holy
crap! You're 29 now.
I don't even. It's, literally, I listened to the veteran
thousands
game,
and thousands and thousands.
I was listening to the veteran gamers playing League of Legends back in the. I remember the old map. If anybody is listening who played League. I remember the old map, like
the
when they updated
map,
it.
Dude. Before it was cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But this year, right, this is how addicted we, well, how nerdy we are, really. So we're all of us lads, because we don't meet up because life's busy. They're doing the League of Legends World Finals in London for the first time in like 8 years. So we've all booked a hotel and we're all going to go down to the O2 Arena as well. They sell it out in like a second.
Wow.
And we are going to go and nerd out for the weekend. I can't wait.
And so let me ask you a question then, Ben. Like, it seems to me that, first of all, your addiction to League and my addiction to Rocket League seem very similar. It's so much better when you have other people. Do you play solo with other randos or do you tend to just play with your friends?
I play solo, but I would much rather play with, like, duos.
Yeah, of course.
Because...
And then the question then is, like, do you... It seems to me like, again, I haven't played too much League, but it feels like there's a pretty similar vibe in League and Dota. And to some extent, it carries over to Rocket League. In other words, you know, the main point of the game is to destroy the enemy bases, right? That's really the key. But when I played League, one of the things that annoyed me about it was that so many people were just interested in ganking the heroes on the other team. Do you go for those ganks or do you stay focused on the main objectives?
Well, I'm a jungler, so like you do gank, but I am an objective.
Yeah.
I just focus on, because the kills get you in the most tricky spots.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants that hit of, I did the most damage.
Right.
I got the last kick.
It feels like an ego kick.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Whoever designed that game spent hours knowing how to, like, just give you that little bit of, like,
That the
juice.
Adrenaline, the
dopamine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
But I tell you, I don't watch, like, professionals that much. Mm. Only this thing called Worlds that happens, like, once a year. But, like, last year, all of everyone's wives came around, girlfriends came around. We all watched it. And
wow,
it was
did
the
they
most...
enjoy it, or were they just like...
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you making me watch?
No, they all called it nerdy, right? Until there was this poor Korean lad who had like... So the money is like, if you win, you get 15 million. If you lose, you get like 800. You get like hardly any money. So the pressure on this one game, because they've been playing all year. And this poor lad, right? All he has to do is press the F key at the correct time to get this smite off of the dragon. Off a Baron, sorry. Yeah. And he would have basically won 15 million quid.
Wow.
And
he
three tie. Yeah, not just once, though. He messed it up once. That was game one. Game two, they were in the lead. And you could just see this poor man. Like, and when the third one, it was like point blank. They killed everyone but one player. And they were like, dude, you've got it this time. I could hear them. I don't even speak Korean, but I could hear them going, you've got this, bro. You've got this. And this guy, point blank, blind, hits an arrow. You type it in like a YouTube smith, Worlds Arrow, like it's the most famous thing ever. And this poor, and they lost 15 million quid because of it. This poor, but at that point, all the gals though were like going crazy. I could hear their, even they were like, dude, that is so sad. Like, he's dedicated his whole life to that, and like,
yeah,
He's going to be known as a bottler for the rest of his life.
Do you know what I think should have happened? They should have taken him in an alley afterwards and beat the shit out of him for that. You know what I mean? For that blunder. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. But, dude, that kid.
But think of all the pressure that's on him from different directions and stuff.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, that's what I've been playing, League. It's the most addictive
game
ever.
Here, wait. We got this here.
Jimmy, I don't like you. I never liked you. And the only reason I gave you that stupid Valentine is because nobody else would.
Watch this, Lise. You can actually pinpoint the second when his heart rips in half.
That was exactly how it was.
Yeah, it was totally. Bad, right? The cameraman just held it there. He held it.
Right, and I'm like, of course. That's the drama, man.
I was like, dude, have a bit of spark.
People want to see celebrities at their worst.
Yeah, of course they do. They want to see people fail. That's what people want to see.
Some people want to see people fail. It's again tricky to do the things.
Do you know what?
Same time,
you just don't have time actually this week. Stu, what you been playing?
What?
Hey. there's just no time, dude.
Yeah. There's no time. You've only got 6 minutes left, so you know.
Here we go. This game, I'm going to talk about. What the hell is it called? Night Runners. Yeah,
pretty good.
So this is the thing where instead of having a demo, people give you like the first chapter and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this is the first chapter of a game that is a racing game. And what can I say about this game?
It doesn't look like a racing game.
It looks like some sort of weird espionage thing. It is. It starts out with this weird voice modulated thing. You're just in someone's garage and it just comes on and goes,
there's a box of money in my garage.
And you're just like, what? So the first part of the game is running around this dude's apartment garage trying to find a box of money. The controls are garbage. You're moving super slow. Eventually, I figured it out. It's like, oh, there's the box of money. And then you use it to buy a car. And, like, it's so much about the 80s video vibe. It's all CRT reproductions and... Oh, it's so exhausting because No More Heroes 3 was doing this too, right? It's like, oh, dude, remember when TV used to look like that? It's like, who gives a shit? And then you finally get in the car. Let me fast forward it to when you actually get into a car and
drive. And then it's amazing. You gotta tell us it's amazing.
No, the cars are sluggish. And as soon as you leave the garage, the dude comes on. It's like a phone call, and he just comes on and he goes,
you come to Tokyo and suddenly you have no money and now you're driving a fancy car. Your friend Jenkinson owed me 50,000 million yen and now you owe me that and you're going to have to make it up for me by doing missions.
And it's like the ugliest, slowest shit ever. It's just such a bog standard thing. And I'm like trying to get to, there's a bad arrow. It's like GTA 3 with the arrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh my God.
But can I just say, the car's got pop-up headlights. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Find a rear windscreen wiper.
It's got a rear windscreen wiper as well. Come on. I mean, the attention to detail is impressive.
Well, I'll tell you
what,
Stu, you can play this game on a demo on Steam and see if you think it plays well, because I promise it does not. I played this for like 10 minutes and I was like, fuck this shit.
We're watching this dude just sort of overtake loads of wagons and shit, right?
Yes.
But what's the actual object? Is it racing? What's he doing?
Well, I think he's getting to the first race.
So you've got to race to the first race.
Well, you know, you just drive to the first race. But, you know, you can do it quickly if you want. And then it looks like, how do I even get there? It looks like what?
It looks like a bad Outrunner. Like, you know, Outrunner, how amazing the drifting was there. The drifting on this looks terrible.
It was so weak. And like, oh, yeah, I was just so bummed by it. It made me so sad how... so much devotion to style and like the 80s retro thing and whatnot. And meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, but it's not fun to drive these cars. Like, that's what matters in a racing game. And to be fair, I didn't do much of the racing. So maybe if I had tried more of it, I would enjoy the racing part. But I don't think so, man. I think this is just a kind of.
I've just seen the car and the registration plate is pixelated out. Is that on purpose?
It's like a stylistic
don't know what
thing.
The reg,
like,
don't know what the reg of this is. And
I think
the dudes have got all their heads pixelated as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. You don't have to design actual... You don't have to hire actors.
Underground.
Just, Yeah, exactly. I can totally see the developer just putting on a hoodie and now I'm going to be this character. Now I'm going to be that character. I'll put on a suit and I'll be this character. It's like, get the fuck out of here. So
yeah,
that's
I think
a big
I should,
thumbs down.
Buy this. Buy this right now.
Please go
buy
right
it
ahead.
Right
I'd love
now.
To hear your review of this. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Hero for sending me this shirt back in the day. Duke the Crank. I'm wearing it. I decided I was going to wear it today because I thought there was a good chance that technical stuff would go wrong and I would be cranky. And it turns out I'm not, but you know.
So. Yeah. Well, I was.
Got to wait for Ben.
Oh, bloody clock's moving. I'm going to call this episode Cranky Stew. That's
cranky
what I'm calling
Stew.
It.
There you go. Stew, what have you been playing
yes.
lately?
Yeah, well, am I going to talk about a game? Jesus
go ahead.
Christ.
Which game are you going to talk about?
So I'm going to talk about Scarlet Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which is episodic. And currently, to my dismay, I found out there are only 4 episodes available.
Oh, damn.
And there's another 3 to go. Yeah, there's another 3.
Oh, uh-oh.
And boy, oh boy, does this game pull no punches. I mean, flip in heck. Okay. I also found something interesting about this game as well that I didn't know. It Go started on. Out life as a dating sim. So it was meant to be a dating visual novel. That's what it was meant to be. So it wasn't meant to be this big, like, murder, mystery, whatever the hell's going on in this. I'll tell you what, you would not want to go to Scarlet Hollow. That place is fucked up big time.
I don't know. It could be a fun vacation.
There is shit going on left, right, and I don't know how much paranormal stuff can happen in one place. It's mental. And do you know when you're playing a game and you've got an idea of what you think is going to happen when you make a decision?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Because
I play in this game and I thought, what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to choose to side with this person because I'm not too keen on that person.
Okay.
And that person got eaten. I mean, not just eaten, just like ripped to shreds and guts hanging out. I mean, it was visceral. You know, when something's really like, wow, what the fuck just happened? I clicked a dialogue option and then somebody got ripped apart in front of my eyes. What the hell?
Well, you got to be more careful with your words, man.
I think I've got to be careful with my choices.
Yeah.
I mean, it does warn you at the beginning of the game that, like, you know, everyone can survive or no one can survive, including yourself. So
there you go.
I should have maybe realized that maybe your decisions do have consequences in this game.
I guess so.
Oh, bloody hell. But it's so good. I can't tell you. I can't wait. I cannot wait for the next episode, whenever the hell that happens.
Yeah.
It's like reading a really good book. I know that sounds stupid because it's a visual novel, but as we know, Duke, the writing in these things tends to be a bit mediocre at best, doesn't
it? Yes. Amen, brother.
And you tend not to care that much about the characters. They don't build the world very well.
It doesn't sound like this one game is making you care about the characters. They got eaten apart by wolves.
Well, the one that, you see, this is where the problem lies with this game, because there's no right or wrong thing, because some characters come across as being arseholes, and then like they do something to redeem themselves a little bit, and you're like, oh,
see,
there's I don't no
angels
know what
to and do. No demons, man. It's
no,
all
I don't
gray,
know.
Dude.
There's a lot of gray, yeah, and I'm like, I don't, you know, the woman who got completely eaten, I didn't like her much because she was like seemed like a horrible person at the beginning,
yeah,
and then some stuff happens, and I'm like, I don't know where she is now. Is
See,
she
that
or
just
isn't
goes to
she?
Show you can't just think of people as being one thing, man. Everybody's a
I know.
Mixture of stuff.
And even though I didn't like her much, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I just didn't, you know? And I think that's what makes this game so great, because when it happened, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. I didn't think that's what was going to happen. I mean, it's like there's a young girl in it at the end of the first episode ends up with no foot. You know? Do you know what I mean? I was like, wow. I mean, they just took a foot off. They really don't care.
Sucks to
but
your foot.
It's just so well structured, and each episode's a day in the game. So it's 7 days. You go into a funeral, and it just plays out. And at the end of every episode, something. Oh no, it's episode 2 where the foot got taken. Episode 1, a dude blew his own head off with a shotgun. But
oh my goodness,
I know. I mean, this This game is, I mean, it does describe
stay calm in those moments, man. You can't lose your head. I know.
By the way, I never mentioned this in the game, right? At the very beginning of the game, you see this dude on the bus. He gives you a bag of boiled peanuts.
Okay. Right? Is it really human entrails?
No. But so from that point forward, every single person you speak to, you can offer them the peanuts.
Okay. Right?
So that's exactly what I did. If that option came up, I offered the bit. I never got, like, it took ages to finally get rid of the peanuts. And it's like, yeah. Everyone's like, no, I've got an allergy, thanks. I don't eat peanuts. Or someone say, they look rancid, mate. I ain't eating those. So you get all these really cool, like, responses off every person you try and give the peanuts to. Yeah. And then he said, you give this, the mayor of the town's a dog. So that's how weird this game is. Yeah. So the mayor of the town's a dog, and you go meet the mayor of the town. And that's when you finally get rid of the peanuts. So the dog eats the peanuts. And then he's got like a secret agent bodyguard, you know, like the president.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, don't give the dog the peanuts. You're going to make him ill.
Good. I want to make him ill. Stupid dog.
Fucking dog is a mayor. What sort of idea is that?
Yeah.
But this game, honestly, it is brilliant. It's nothing short of brilliant. I love it. I was totally engrossed. And I just love that, like... No, honestly, it's just, I can't tell you, if you like reading and you like a really good story, this is a game for you. I mean, I say it's a game, that's a really loose term, but there's so many branching options that you can take whilst playing it. You know, there's many.
See, this seems like a different, it's funny, I was actually talking to some former students of mine this past week. That was the highlight of my spring break, by the way, catching up with them. They're amazing students and they're very interesting, doing cool stuff at uni. Anyway, I was asking them, what have you been reading lately? And one of them was talking about all the books she's read for her class. And the other one's a music major. So she's studying to become a music teacher. So she's been reading stuff about education. But then she also said, like, I've been watching a lot of visual novels. And, like, she's doing, like, proper, like, these are kind of, I guess these are visual novels. Anyway, she talked about how she's trying to get all the endings of this one that was like a retelling of Aladdin or something. And it seems to me like that's fine. I don't always go for that. You know how much I didn't care for Eliza. But it seems like that's a new kind of story. It's not one story, you know what I mean? Like, Heavy Rain isn't one story. It's a bunch of stories.
No, and, exactly.
And
it had,
you know, there's like, you want to see all the different endings. And I don't really have an opinion about that, but I know that my personal preference is just tell me the story, and then maybe I can be good, bad, or in the middle or something. You know, I know that somehow every game now has like, well, most games have some sort of branching thing with the endings and stuff.
Yeah, I guess, but the one thing I would say about this game, which I think is really, really cool, and I went on the website just to sort of, you know, and there's a lot of like how they came up with the game premise, how they developed everything.
Yeah.
And she was saying on there, what was really cool, when they were doing all the play testing, she said, we knew we had something good because although you can save any time you want, so it doesn't penalize you. If something shit happens, you can go back to a previous save and reload it up and have another go. But she said when they were doing the play, she said that very rarely happens. She said most people just accepted what happened and carried on playing. She said it was very rare that they went back and tried to alter, you know, the course of what had just gone on. And I think I feel that way. Until I read that, it had never occurred to me. The only time I've ever saved, because it tells you at the end of every episode, if you want to continue this game playthrough, you need to save now. And that's the only time I've ever saved the game.
Right.
So throughout the whole of the, like, each chapter, I never save. So I don't. And whatever happens, and I quite like that. I'm like, whatever happens, happens. And if it's shit, it's shit. But that's it's on me for fucking it up. You know what I mean? Or making
that,
the wrong. And I love it. I love it for that. I think it's just so well done. This all came from playing Slay the Princess, which again is equally brilliant. But I just thought, I wonder what else they've done. And then this came up and I was just like, and I was just instantly hooked. Yeah. It's just so good. I can't tell you. And I'm gutted. It's like waiting for the next installment of a book to come out now. And I'm like, when's it coming,
Ben,
man?
Ben, can you see yourself playing this?
It's giving me like Walking Dead vibes. Do you remember when they did the episodic stuff with Clementine?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, but that was
I feel like it was. Well, the thing about that Walking Dead episode was the ending was the ending. Whatever you chose was going to be that. But this seems like it could go in all different directions. Like, I played Until Dawn and the first time. And, like, look, I completely messed up. Basically, all my characters died. But like you guys, I was like, well, that's it. But if I played it again, because I reckon I could keep like 8 out of the 12 still alive now. Yeah. But no, that first experience is something special where you just jaw drops.
And I think that's what draws me into it, because I love all those games. They're my kind of guilty pleasure, all those types of games. You know, because the sort of Man of Medan stuff and all that, the Quarry and all those sort of things, they're not the best made games, but they're interesting because of the fact that people won't survive or can't survive if you get it wrong.
Right.
And I kind of like that about... I mean, there were some moments in the last one I played, I can't remember what that was called now, the one with the mass murderer. And he's like hunting around the mansion. There were some parts of that where I couldn't save either of them. There was a point in it where two characters were in a room with a moving wall, and it was one or the other was going to die. And I didn't like that because it felt cheap. It was almost like, there's no way out of this now. There is no, like, you have to choose one of these characters to die. Whereas I think in this
game, he's got a heartbreaking decision to make.
Yeah. Whereas in this game, I think it's more subtle than that, and there's more.
Wait a minute, Marcelo, you just said you said the wrong thing, and someone's head got ripped off.
Yeah, but
that's not very subtle.
No, but I'm like, here's the thing.
Easy to see coming, maybe.
No, when I made that decision, I knew that was probably a possibility, but just didn't expect it. Okay. You know what I mean?
So
I
unexpected, or not so shocking, maybe.
It was shocking.
On the word subtle,
but. It was shocking, but I think it was also like I knew it was going.
You were braced for something terrible.
In I was back, ready in for the back it. Of your head, it was that. It was.
I was ready for it, but also fair thinking enough. Like, nah, they're not going to do that. Surely, you know what I mean. But then they just did it, and I was just like, and it's so brutal the way it happened. It was so like brutal because although this isn't animated that well, the drawing in the illustration's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it does this, like, you know, the sense of place is really good. You know, you could imagine this is some weird David Lynch backwater town in America somewhere. You know what I mean? Because there is a bit of Twin Peaks vibes about it. You know, there is a little bit of that kind of weirdness and quirky characters.
Right.
I urge everybody to give, because the first episode's free. So you can play that for nothing. You can play the first episode for nothing on Steam.
There you go. Well, play it,
people. I urge everybody to give this a go. If you like reading, you like a good book, give it a go and come back to me and tell me you're not hooked. That's all I can say.
Okay. So, cool. Nice. That's Scarlet Hollow, people. Big thumbs up from Stu. Ben, what are you up to? What's your next game?
I tell you what, I did something that's virtual but in real life. I played darts, but it's like got interactive board. I don't know if I've ever played it in real life, but instead of playing like normal darts, like you do like 310 or whatever it is, it had like different.
Do you know the rules of anything, Ben?
Not really. I don't.
310. Did you really just say 310?
300 or something. It's
501 or 301. 310. Or then you play round the board. Have you played round the board?
Yeah, we do that. But this one that we played, it had like loads of different mini games you could play, because it was like an interactive dartboard that had, it was really good fun. So apparently, you know, the tips, they're magnetized, so you could sense what the computer was doing. So we had a load of us all, like, you could do it in teams or whatever you want, and there were so different game modes. Like, there's one called Shooter where you get given a section of the dartboard and everyone else gets given a section, and you've got to try and hit their section to like eliminate them. And it was a really fun. We played it for like half an hour the last few days, but no, it's really good. If you've got anyone, I know it's real life, but if you ever want
to
play it.
So, can I ask, was this in a pub? Where did you play it?
Yeah, it was at a place called Riley's. They're all around like the UK and probably in America.
Oh, but like a snooker club?
Yeah, snooker club. We just came to play darts, but like they went, oh, there's this interactive one. So there's all different games. There's one where you have to like try and hit the bullseye, and it's called Robin Hood. So you hit, obviously, the more points you get. And there's like different, and you don't have to do any of the counting either. Does it all manually for you. So it's really, there was about 12 different game modes you could play. That, like, there was one section where you have to hit, like, diagonal. So you hit one, and then your other teammate's got to hit the one across. But
all right, you know, okay, opposite it. On the
board. Yeah. But it's quite fun, though, because with, like, say what you're really good duke at darts, I don't know. But then no. Your teammate really sucks. We'll pretend you're just there like, come on, you could do this. So no, it's a good
sounds like Rocket League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? It made darts a little bit more exciting. I don't know if that's possible, Stu. No? Okay. But it did make darts a little bit more exciting. Cool.
You know,
did it make
like
it a bit more exciting?
They tried to do it with cricket. They got to do it with bowling, with the extreme stuff. With it, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I will talk. What are the guys I work with? Matt. He was telling me he bought himself a dartboard. He bought himself one, right? He said, and I got it home, and I put it on the wall at the regulation height. He said, and then I measured out the length of a normal hockey. And he said, like, when you see it on telly, they don't look that far away from the board. He said, and when you do it in real life, he said, it's miles away. Oh. And he's like, I can't hit a board from here. What's all this about? He said, and I did it. He said, I played about twice, and I'm like, took it down. Don't worry, I'm done.
By the way, showing the German Darts Championship on the stream now. Oh. And like, these guys are standing right near the board looking away from it. They're very trusting, man. If I was that dart champion, I'd be like, watch this. Like back of the head. Anyway.
Yeah. What you need to look up, Duke, is Luke Littler.
Oh, okay. Everyone's going
I'll do that after the show.
Car.
Yeah.
So Luke Littler, he's like a young sort of like amazing darter. You know, okay. He got to. He's doing pretty well. He's doing pretty well. But
well, you know, I like this new game mode that electronic one, because there was moments where like everyone around me was so much better at darts. I didn't even know we were playing darts. I just turned up and it was like we're playing darts. But yeah. There was somewhere like it wasn't just all skill. There was a bit of luck and like the team. So it actually made darts. As a guy who sucks at darts, I actually had fun. So
the question is, Ben is like, I'll come play darts, but is there any way we could make it more like League of Legends?
That's what it was like, though. It had that team bonding exercise. If you throw, you just go, oh, I threw this for the team. Sorry, bro. Yeah. And like, you felt the pressure. But yeah,
sure.
I'd be playing darts.
Okay.
All right, here you
go. Good fun.
By the way, do we may get a copyright strike for this? Just saying.
Well, I just took it off, so never mind.
What about you, Eric?
Oh, yeah, Duke, let me tell you.
Is it time for Guild Wars? Is it time for Guild Wars?
It is not time for Guild Wars. I'm not going to talk about Guild Wars.
No.
Because I need...
That was last week.
That was last week. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. At the start of the week, I said to myself, I'm going to dive into Starfield. Like properly
spring break,
dive
spring
in.
Break,
spring
let's
break.
Let's do this.
I've got the time. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I'm fucking loving this game, man. I'm sorry. I know everybody hates it. I know everybody hates it. And it's got problems. And you can suckle bub if you're going to just hate on it. Because
it's got a lot of problems.
But here's the thing. Look, I'm a Bethesda fanboy. It's giving the dopamine hit on like this first day after about 2 hours of like, all right, there's so many systems you have to wrap your brain around. And that's one of the biggest problems. It's that they aimed so big that they left certain things unfinished, like the maps. Agreed. You know, the local maps are not, they just don't exist, which sucks.
There isn't any local maps. What local
maps? Right, exactly.
Maps?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, when you go to New Atlantis, there's like six districts
it or
to
not?
The city.
Is it still
obviously
it's
not?
It's been a year and it hasn't.
Obviously
so,
not.
I don't know maps. Wow.
But it may be that someone was saying like, oh, there's probably modders working to fix that. And I'm like, I don't know. That's
it's not up to modders, is
modders.
It? They don't
know,
get paid.
I know.
Oh, it's fucking, honestly.
But the, it doesn't really matter too much in New Atlantis because you get used to, I mean, nobody uses the map of Skyrim in Whiterun, like you get to learn the geography of Whiterun.
You do, but Whiterun's not that complex a place. Bloody,
you're right.
Star City, or whatever it's called, there's fucking
New
shit
Atlantis.
All over the place.
There is stuff
Atlantis
all over the place. That's not the problem. The problem is in the caves. The problem is when you're exploring a cave and you have no fucking idea where to go, where you've been, where you haven't. It's just darkness everywhere, and like you can turn, like if you use your scanner, it'll have the little arrows on the ground showing you how to get back to your destination. But that's just to leave the cave. In the meantime, if there's seven rooms in the cave, you have no idea which ones you've been to and which ones you haven't. So, and I don't think this was intentional. There were some people online I saw talking about like, well, oh, you're just so used to being spoon-fed everything. You know what? Fuck out of here with that shit. They just didn't think it through or something. I don't know. That is a big problem. But there's so much in this game that is so good. The combat is solid. The space combat is fun. you know, it's the thing of Bethesda. Like, you know, there's this huge worlds in this case. Yeah. And there's just a lot to explore and find and do. Now, again, I will admit that the procedurally generated planets are stupid. And in a lot of cases, the exploration of a planet is just, you know, go to this unknown thing. Okay, it's an abandoned drilling site. Go to this area and it's an abandoned civilian outpost. Go to, you know, it's all abandoned stuff and there's not much to find. So exploring, you know, in that sense is even more unsatisfying than, you know, at a certain point with Fallout 4, you explore the map and you've pretty much seen everything and you know there's other areas you can go explore, but it's probably just going to be another abandoned, you know, robot factory or something, maybe with some raiders in it to clear out. And so you know, okay, fine, it's not that big a deal. But meanwhile, there's all these factions and there's, you know, it's everything that I love about Fallout and it's like a new series of stories. So I recognize it for what it is, and I love it for what it is. And the other stuff is annoying. I will agree with that.
The biggest issue I had with this game is it just felt old. It didn't feel like a modern video game. When you think about like RPGs we have now and how they function, this just felt like it had not progressed from Fallout or from Skyrim. I mean, the graphics are shinier and it does look better.
I don't understand what you mean it didn't progress. Like, in what way did it?
Well, it's like all the loading screens, all the static figures when you're having a conversation, they don't move around. It's still this, like, facing you when you talk to them.
It just care about any of that.
It all feels the same. And I think that's my problem with it. It's just the same. I mean, you play Cyberpunk by comparison, and it's a completely different beast.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That they have like proper cinematic cutscenes, cinematic conversations.
Yeah, that's fair.
Better voice acting, better story.
I'm never gonna. It's just I agree that I actually wrote down the voice acting ain't great, and that's fine. Were you gonna say something, Ben? I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh no, just wondering what type of character you're going with this time.
So I mean, my first playthrough in all these games tends to be like the cowboy trying to do right and like help people in need. There are bounty boards in this game. So like I keep, you know, if I've done a quest that involves, like, there was this one lady who was sick and she's like, oh, my dad. And I was like, all right, I'll go see if I can get your dad to reconcile with you. And I got to dad. And first of all, the persuasion minigame, I don't know if you did much of this, Stu, but God, it sucks. It's almost like we're going back to Oblivion's little minigame with the joke.
I know, this is what I mean. It feels like he's stuck in a time capsule.
But here's the thing. I mean, to be fair, I think they're trying to innovate in some way. They're trying to give players something new with that. And there are people who like the persuasion minigame. I can't stand it personally. I just like to have the option and like maybe I can try to persuade him and then maybe not. Meanwhile, so let me come back to that. Meanwhile, hang on, because there's these powers that I want to talk about in just a second. So the character I'm playing is like the good guy trying to help people out, especially the underdog. So this young lady was like, oh, my dad fought with me and I did something horrible. And I want to reconcile him and maybe I can, you know, get medical treatment and whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I go to deal with the dad and he's like, I'm not helping my daughter. Tell me where she is so I can punish her. And I'm like, I'm not doing that, dude. And he's like, and so I tried to do the persuasion thing to get him to just reconcile with his daughter and I failed and I was like, God damn it. And I know I could reload when I'm coming in, but I'm like, I don't want to try to do that every time I fail a persuasion attempt. So instead I just let it go. And then he was like, you can either tell me where she is or you can get the fuck out. And the option, it was just, call the police or now you must die. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be dealing with the police, but I also don't want to kill this dude. So I was just like, I guess I'm going to kill this dude. So I killed him and I go back to the lady and she's like, well, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I hated that man, but he was still my dad. And I guess I should thank you, but I'm not very happy about the fact you killed my dad. And I was just like, ah. So when I get done
You're a trier, Duke.
I gave it a shot. When I get done with one of those missions, I'm like, all right, I just want to go kill a bunch of baddies that I know are pure evil. So I'll load up a bounty and just go into an abandoned space station. And I mean, that's when it shines, man, because, you know, the combat's not amazing, but it was fun. And like the AI is better because at one point I was fighting him and this dude is like, I'm out of here. And he was like bolting. And it was like, oh, wait, come back. No way, dude. I'm not letting you escape. So, I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with that part of it.
And coming back to what you just said, really, about having, like, no real choice. It's either kill him or get the cops or whatever. And I think that's the trouble. I mean, when I was talking about, I don't know, Scarlet Hollow is nothing like this game. But when there's gray, you know what I mean? There's gray areas where you can, you know, resolve a quest with something that other than just kill this person or call the cops. Right. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, again, there is a persuasion path that I tried to go down. And I mean, it's a rich for you to talk about there's options in Scarlet Hollow when a dude gets his head ripped off and the other person loses their foot. The point being that sometimes the game wants to put you against the wall and be like, okay, you have to choose two crappy outcomes. And I tried to, you know, I've been putting, the thing that bugs me is that I've been putting my level points into persuasion. So I should be able to persuade people easily now, and I still can't, which that's the part that really bugs me. But nevertheless, I feel like it does offer some gray areas. And I think where Bethesda always tries to really have their gray areas are in the big strokes. So in Fallout 4, it was the Institute, which is, okay, pure evil. But they are trying to say, like, we're the best hope for humanity. And the lighthouse or the railroad is a bunch of psychopaths. And the, you know, Brotherhood of Steel is a bunch of fascists. In Skyrim, you have the Stormcloaks, which are not really the good guys. And then you have the Empire, which is also bad because they're teamed up with the Admere Dominion. So that's where I think they try to give their gray areas. And it's true.
I get it. I mean, I think I was more forgiving of Fallout, though, from because of the time it was made. So, okay. You know, I was like, well, yeah, no, this is the technology we have at the moment. So that's what I'm expecting. And I think because I played other games that are way more advanced in the systems and the way they operate, I think that's why it was so glaring.
Well, OK,
like
I mean,
playing this game.
That's fine. And I'm not, again, I can't dispute the fact that the conversations are very static and we are back to the, you know, face taking up the whole thing. I personally don't care about that, but if you, it bugs you, it bugs you. And that's fine. And I respect that. But I think there are a lot of systems in the game which are interesting and they're just different kinds of systems. So for instance, they took the building stuff, and I know how much you love the building stuff in Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah,
now
I can't
it's outposts.
Wait to do that.
It's like times 10 now because the outposts.
Yeah, give me
just,
some so abandoned planet.
You can have robots and you can extract minerals and stuff. Like, it's a whole thing now. They're trying to make it Sims-like.
Well, and you're trying to make me like this game, dude. You're failing.
I know. Okay, let me give you some other things that I did like about the game. I talked about how the space combat is fun. I keep getting better and better ships, and, you know, they're capable of doing more. So it was hard doing space combat at first because I had the basic starter ship, and it was not very good at space combat. You had, like, two shield, you know, levels on the reactor or whatever. Now I've got one with five, so it's like I can last longer in a space fight and stuff, and I'm learning how to do it better. Traditionally in Bethesda games, you have seven quests, and they're all on the map, so you look at the map, and there's all these quest markers everywhere. In this game, they gave you the option, finally, to only say, show me one quest at a time, and I was like, oh, thank God, because it just streamlines my thinking a lot, and I really like that. I keep wanting to enter vats. Like, I'll see some enemies and I'll be like, oh wait, let me plan my strategy. Where's the vats key? Oh wait, this isn't Fallout. Damn it.
Yeah, no vats.
Which is pretty funny. The
do you think you would have liked this game even more had it implemented some sort of VAT system?
Probably, because I really like the way that VATS is in between real time and not. But on the other hand, I will say that, you know, this game has given me experiences kind of like in Far Cry games where you're like down to your last few bullets and you have no more health packs. And like I'm crouching in the corner and there's four enemies out there. And I forgot I had one of these boosting drugs that will give me damage resistance or whatever. And it's you know, you don't get as many of those in Fallout because you have VATS. And I think the fact that it's all real time combat has made it more gripping in a way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, the one
pressure.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the one thing I would say, right, and where I do think this game is a lot better than previous stuff like Fallout, the shooting mechanics are pretty slick. They work pretty well. I mean, it feels like a decent third-person shooter or first-person shooter, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I never had any problems with that. I think because I remember outside of VATS, Fallout wasn't that great if you were just free shooting, you know what I mean?
They definitely did a much better job with
definitely, yeah. It feels like it's
stuff here
way better.
We got 10 minutes before we have to reboot here. The other thing I really like about this game is that when you're, first of all, you're jumping around on Mars, the gravity is less, so you can float more. And so, like, it's a different experience fighting with enemies while you're jumping around with these huge hops instead of just having to basically bunny hop, you know what I mean? So that it just adds a new dynamic. And this, and that helps if, you know, you've got a quest at the top of a mountain or whatever, you can kind of float up the mountain. Whereas in the past, in Skyrim, of course, we all know you had to kind of glitch up the mountain if you couldn't find the correct path.
You had to make your own path.
And they've got a climbing mechanic now, so that if you find a cliff, you can jump to the cliff and it'll like put its hands and you climb, you pull yourself up. That makes such a big difference, because if you can't find the start to the stairs, you can usually just hop up to the second level and like pull yourself up that way. Now, that said, there have been like five times in the past week when I've been, there's this one mission early on where you have to fight basically a xenomorph from Aliens, and like it's tracking where it is, and I have this power
that basically sense life.
Did you do that one? I can sense life. So fortunately, I could keep track of where it was without having to rely on the sonar or whatever. But there was this area I had to get to, which was above me, and I could not for the life of me figure out how the fuck I was supposed to get up there. I kept running around, and like I didn't want to be out in the open because the thing would jump on me and kill me instantly, and I had to start up a turret or something up there, and I was like, I can't do it. And then suddenly I started one of the turrets, and I guess the monster was hanging out around that other turret, because suddenly it goes, it's dead. And I was like, but I didn't. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened in my game, and they're very similar. I got to one of the turrets, turned that on.
Yeah,
and then I was trying to get to the next one because I thought, oh, this is going to be a bit like, it's tricky. I've got to get to this next one. And then it was dead. It was just oh, it's dead. Yeah. You've completed the mission.
It is what job it done. Is. Yeah. The perk system is kind of cool because there's a lot of different perks. You can put them into fighting in space, ballistics, laser weapons, and that whole thing, same as Fallout. The difference is, which again is kind of frustrating, they added this challenge thing that's involved in it. So you don't just say, I have this perk now. You choose the perk, and then you have to complete like a challenge in order for the perk to actually activate, right? So for instance, if you want to carry 10% more weight, before you do that, you have to sprint for like 1,000 meters while you're fully weighted down, or close to your full weight capacity, right?
Yeah.
And that's not too big a deal, but to get better persuasion, I have to pass a certain number of persuasion challenges. So the whole time I'm like, I should be better at persuading, but I can't get better at persuading unless I get better at persuading. And it's like this.
Oh, catch 22. Catch 22.
So frustrating. But in the 7 minutes before we finish up and reboot, I got to tell you about this cargo mission. Oh my God. So I go to I love the fact that there are these mission boards, because I don't really love Radiant quests, but sometimes they're very nice. As I mentioned, it's nice to just say, give me a bounty. I'm going to go kill a bad guy. Okay, let me just do this. All right. And I saw one that was deliver 600 units of iron to New Atlantis. And I'm like, well, I know where New Atlantis is. This is going to be easy. Most space games. What do you think? How's that going to work?
Mine an asteroid or two.
Exactly.
And then get
you
iron,
go somewhere,
and then
you get the
deliver
iron,
it.
You bring it over here. No, yeah. Not in this game. God damn it. I had to bumble my way through it for about half of it. And then I went looking up online, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do next? And the first website that I found was why most people avoid doing delivery missions in Starfield. I was like, fuck. You have to mine it in an outpost. So you have to build a little home for yourself on a planet that has iron and then fill up a cargo, you know, box with iron and then call in a ship to do it. And I was like, holy shit. So I set up an outpost, and setting up an outpost is such a pain in the ass because you need materials to set up the outpost. And so I was like, I had some materials in my ship, and I took all the materials and I went to my outpost. And I was like, okay, I got all the materials. Let me set up stuff in the outpost. I didn't have the right materials. And I was like, shit, I got the wrong materials. So I had to go back to my ship to go fly to another system to buy the right materials to build the stuff for my outpost so I can start generating the iron.
That's dedication.
Well, I'm just getting started, dude. Hang on a second. I couldn't teleport to my ship because I'm overweighted. And I was like, all right. Here's what I'll do. I'll build a little crate to put some of my materials in my outpost, and then I can leave materials here. And I didn't have the correct materials to build the crate. Oh. Motherfucker. So I could throw a bunch of stuff on the ground and lose it forever. I was like, I don't want to do that. So I'm slowly walking back to my ship, back and forth to different systems in order to buy the material. It's just, oh God. I finally got set up. I'm like, okay, I got the iron going into the box. Now I just got to figure out how to send it to New Atlantis. Okay. Because of course I'm in a different system.
So it says, this is where I got about halfway done. And it goes, oh, you need to set up a cargo link. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And so I'm looking up online. Here's a cargo link. Okay, fine. I get a cargo link. Set it up. Okay, I got a cargo link. The stuff is, the iron's going from the ground into the box and then into the cargo link. Awesome. I'm set up. And now what? And I'm just waiting for something to happen and nothing's happening. I'm like, what do I do now? And I look some more on another website and it goes, well, there's two kinds of cargo links. There's a cargo link between outposts in one system. And then there's inter-system cargo. I was like,
oh.
I had to build a whole new kind of cargo. Now, fortunately, you take down the old cargo link, you get all those resources back. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But I had to build the other cargo link.
That is complex for just
it's
being
so
complex.
It's, but again, look, it's hang on a second, though. Wait. Oh, you're God. Right. You're not wrong, Stu. But think about it for a second, right? What games have I really dived into in the last year or 2 years? Factorio,
oh, these,
Satisfactory,
oh, yeah, all
right?
These fucking weird
Shapes
games.
With a Z.
Where to,
exactly.
Yeah.
So they know
Goofy
there's
complex.
A market. There's yes. people who love this logistical yeah. shit. I'm not necessarily one of them all the time. And in this case, hell no. Once I do this iron mission, because I could abandon it and just be like, I'm going to go kill bandits again. But I'm like, I'm so close. And I am actually, I've gotten like half of the iron delivered by now. But it was such a.
How long has it taken you to deliver half of the iron?
Probably about 2 hours.
Jesus!
Oh
Christ.
My days!
What? So it's going to take you
the first half hour. Whoa. I was like, "What am I doing?"
My God, you're
just
on spring break.
Wait a minute!
Go ahead.
4 hours to do.
No, not. It won't, because here's the thing. Look, now that I've got it set
right.
up, it's just going to run by itself. Like, seriously.
It better.
I know, right? But that's the thing, is that and this is coming back to League of Legends and Rocket League, okay? Those games, I don't know about League, but I can speak about Rocket League. Yeah. For me, at this point, I realized this past week, it's not, and shout out to Antonio, we had some games. Love you, Antonio. It's not even necessarily about winning or scoring. It's a matter of will for me. It's about, I don't want to give up on the game. I don't want to give up on my rank. And in the case of Starfield, I didn't want to give up on this fucking iron delivery mission. I can do this. I'm not that stupid. And I must see it through. So it's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's only going to get me like 2,000 credits. And when I get done, I'm going to be like, that's it. There should be a goddamn parade for me getting this iron delivered.
Listen, I'll be honest, right? It's easy to just stop doing these stupid missions.
It is.
You just stop.
But
you just don't do it.
But here's the thing. So far as I know, you can't get them off your quest list. So it's going to sit there forever taunting me. You couldn't figure out how to get the iron delivered.
You know, dude, that is you, though. You are.
Ignore it.
You said you're going to do, you try your best to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, and I'm not going to let this part of the game beat me. I'm like,
beat
damn.
You, yeah.
So
idea.
I recognize all the flaws. I recognize how stupid it is. The other thing I was going to say is I can't believe Bethesda hasn't implemented two things. One is some way to keep track of all your followers. Like, it basically kind of does, because you have your crew for your ship, and so that's basically how you keep track of your followers. But it should be something much more comprehensive and simple now. And the other thing is, when you're following someone from one place to another, goddamn, they need a thing that's like, match the pace. Because right now, it's you're walking a little slower than them, or you're running faster than them, and that's stupid.
So. Yeah, the most games now, again.
Right, I know.
Most
I know. That's a good example
that.
Of what you're talking
do
about.
That.
Agreed. Hooray for Starfield!
No,
a lot of people gave up
on
it.
I'm glad you do. I mean, I'm glad you do. Yeah, I was one of those people. I just couldn't. I mean, to be honest, I never finished Skyrim as it goes. But
yeah, well, but you played it for quite a few hours, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I played it multiple times. I've started the game again and played maybe 30 hours, and then stopped. I've never got to the end of the story though. Never played it.
That's all right. That's the thing about Bethesda. You don't really have to do that part of it necessarily. There's plenty of other stuff to do along the way.
So I'm going to talk about a modern RPG that actually feels modern, which is Banishers: Ghosts of New Eden. I have put some hours into this week. So I didn't play much of it last week because Scarlet Hollow was taking up all of my time. And then I finished Scarlet Hollow, so I'm like, right, let's get back on Banishers. So I've just done a big boss fight, which was kind of fun. It does a pretty good job, this game, of pretty much everything. The voice acting is really, really well done. The story's excellent. When you talk to people, they move around. It's weird. And
You have to let it go. I'm not responding. Yeah, I don't care. No, hate all you want. Don't. It's not.
And do you know what?
He's trying to bait you.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'll tell you what. One of the big, and it still is. Everyone seems to be doing stuff you'd expect them to do. You know, when you play like a GTA game,
yeah,
and you wonder, like, I always wonder, say you're just in a random part of the city and like a guy's getting chased by the cops for robbing something or doing some crime or whatever, and he just runs past.
Yeah.
And I always find myself thinking at those moments in time is, would that happen if I wasn't in that particular part of the city at that time? Would the algorithms in the background still have that cop chasing that robber or whatever?
Yeah.
And I know, maybe. It's a weird...
Right.
I know, it's a weird thing to think about. It's like, is that stuff going on when you're not there? Is it like a living
Because that's
thing?
The difference between a world that actually feels alive and one that doesn't. To be fair, hang on a second. To be fair, Bethesda is known for that. If you go to Skyrim and you walk around Whiterun, like, people have their daily routines where they leave home, they go to their store, they open them up. So I'm just saying, that happens in Starfield too. Go on.
But yeah, in this game, that is one of the things I like the best about it. I think the world feels very real.
Yeah.
And like I said to you last week, one of the best things about this game is whoever you talk to, you have a full-on conversation. It's never just and they're all fully voice acted. You know, it's never just a, like, you know, you can talk to people and it's not just Skyrim, it's other RPGs, where you speak to someone and they're just a stock answer of, yeah, I've had a great day, or whatever it may be, you know, just some stock answer. But in this game, they've always got an opinion on you as well. If you've done stuff, they'll comment on stuff you've done.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I feel like the real people, you know, like proper real characters in the game.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I really like it. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I've just finished a major part of the game. And from what I can work out, I'm about halfway through. Mm-hmm. So I'm about... And it's really weird because the main quests are all... like ghost hunt. So every quest is you hunting a ghost.
Yeah.
When you say that, it sounds weird. It's like, oh, that's a bit like you're just doing
Hunter.
The same.
It's a Witcher style type thing. You got.
Yeah, it does feel like, you know, you think like
go hunt ghosts. Sure.
You do. You're doing the same thing over and over. But each of these ghosts has like a background story to them, and that's kind of where the meat of the game is. So. Each like ghost is attached to one of the characters, and they've done something at some point that ended with that person dying.
And the end of the game turns out you've been dead the whole time.
Well, maybe. But then you become the sort of the judge, the jury, and the executioner, depending on what decision you make at the end of that, you know, sequence of the quest. When you've found out all the facts and everything that went on.
Sure.
You've then got to decide what either punishment or redemption should be dealt out.
Yeah. Can you cut someone's foot off?
You can kill pretty much every character who's been haunted.
Yeah.
So you could, if you wanted, you know, you could find them all guilty and kill each of them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can ascend the ghost, which is a nice way for it to go up to heaven.
Yeah.
Or you can banish it to hell, basically. So you can like brutally get rid of it.
I wonder
so
what you Chini can. Would do.
So well, Chini's going to be probably killing all the people. I would imagine.
Yeah.
How many have you done, Stu? How many have you banished to hell?
I've only banished one.
Was he a real
bad? Banished one, and to be fair, he were a twat. You know, like when you're like, you were a twat. You were. So yeah, I didn't. That's the only time I haven't killed any people. So I've not. I've not felt that any of the characters who've created the ghost were guilty, if that makes any sort of sense.
Nobody's irredeemable in your eyes.
Yeah, most of them, you know, they've done some bad shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's caused the person to die.
Yeah.
But I haven't, up to now, I'm not convinced any of them have done something bad enough where I'd have to like, that's totally your fault. I'm going to kill you.
You know what, Stu? I want you on court if I ever get put up in trial. I just go, I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Don't worry. Off you go.
You killed 16 nuns and orphans, but it's okay. We forgive you.
I get you just slip with a knife. It's fine. Yeah, so I'm a pretty nice guy, and I tend to play games that way anyway. So, but yeah, I'm loving it. It's a really well done game. It's a great story, and don't knob. You know, again, they're my guilty pleasure people. You know, Life is Strange, all those types of games. I really enjoy them, and this kind of, although it's not that type of game, it is that, as you know, the similar standard of writing for me, and I do like it.
Are you into the ghost type stuff then, Stuart?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge horror fan. I mean, yeah. So, oh, yeah, I love that game. But yeah, I've been a huge horror fan since I was a kid. You know what I mean? I've watched multiple horror films, love horror games.
Yeah.
So, like anything paranormal, I'm in.
You're in. That's good, man. What do you think of the Nathan Drake when that all goes paranormal? Did you like that or not?
No, not so much, because I don't feel it fits with the narrative.
No, that's how I felt, yeah.
I don't mind games that are actually meant to be paranormal. That's good. Yeah. But, yeah. No,
I'll
anyway.
Because Tomb Raider did that as well. Tomb Raider 1 was really good, and then Tomb Raider 2, it just went all... I was like, it just didn't fit right.
Doesn't fit.
Indiana Jones, for some reason, went the temple.
No, that makes sense though, doesn't it? Because of the narrative, as long as it makes sense within the narrative, I'm fine with it. Fine with it. What do you think? I mean, Ben, is this something you could see yourself giving a go if you like the paranormal stuff?
Yeah, do you know what? I do like that you, like you say, it seems grey enough that you could send people to heaven, hell, or why they, but I feel like I'd be a bit more harsher though. I'd be like, you have killed somebody at the end of the day. So
that
has to be a punishment. Maybe not death, but I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I would say about this game, I don't feel like there's many repercussions from making those decisions so far.
No.
I don't feel like it's going to change the narrative. It does change the narrative, but that'd be giving spoilers away. But... Yeah. I don't feel like it has massive, apart from the way people treat you, you know, or they're like angry with you or horrible to you or whatever afterwards. But other than that, I don't feel that it makes a huge difference in the narrative. But as a game, I love it anyway. I love the story and it doesn't really matter that much. But yeah,
I like it.
So I'm really enjoying that.
I'm glad.
Ben, back over to you.
Do you want to talk about Play My Game?
Yeah, shall we do that, Duke?
I think it's time we talk about Play My Game. Bitch, bitch, bitch. Yeah, bitch! Yeah, bitch!
Play my game, bitch.
Yeah, it's got the Breaking Bad thing.
Yeah, bitch!
So,
this is the part of the show where we all play the same game. And I had actually downloaded the demo for this on Steam, and then I saw it come up on Game Pass as the full game. So I was like, well, I don't want to play just the demo if I can play the whole game. So I figured, hey, let's do this. It's called Lightyear Frontier, and it is Stardew Valley with mechs.
Yeah.
A 3D Stardew Valley, and you're in a mech.
I gotta say, I really enjoyed the colours though. The colour scheme, I was feeling it.
Yeah, I like the art style. I'll give you that.
I had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, yeah. Did you play online or did you do single player?
Oh, I did single player.
No, just single.
Yeah,
single
I did
player.
Single too. Yeah. No, I liked it. You know what was really nice as well? Because there is those games I hear you talk about, Duke, sometimes where you don't want to be attacked, you don't want to be raided, you just want to do your thing. And this place, I didn't meet any real enemies or anything like that. It was a very
weeds are your enemies.
Well, there was one. I don't know if y'all had this, but there was one where after a few days you plant stuff, there are these like poison bubbles that show up, and you have to kind of like pop them before they pollute your crops, I guess, or something. I don't know exactly how it works, but it was just like, it was the thing of like, hey, this thing is happening. You got to go deal with it. And, that was the one kind of enemy that I noticed at any point.
I had some weeds that were like spinning jennies that came down and you had to destroy them before they hit the ground.
Okay.
I think my aesthetic detail that I really liked, I was playing a controller and if you pushed it forward, in the mech, it automatically just walked forward. Like, you didn't have to hold it there. So you could just walk forward for like 5 minutes if it's a real far distance point.
Yeah, auto-walking is a thing I've really gotten used to these days.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good feature.
Yep,
add.
Agreed.
But how many? What crops did you grow? Anything in particular?
I just had the blueberries, the first
thing. Yeah, same.
Berry dealies. But I felt like it was cool that you build... You know, it's the same with every crafting game, basically. It's nothing major, but I just think it's, I don't know, kind of nifty. Like, you know, I was thinking a little bit about how Minecraft is just, like, dropping you in. It's like, go. You know what I mean? And games, yeah. I was like, why can't other games do that? And I think it's because it's been done. You know what I mean? Like, there's
good.
Exactly. I want quests. And this game has a bunch of quests. So it's like, you know, build this thing and then build that thing and then use these two things together to make that. And then you make the oil out of the plants and then you use that to create aluminum parts and upgrade your mech and all that stuff.
Do you know what I like the most about this game?
What do you like the most about this game, Stu?
Nothing breaks. You don't have to rebuild anything. You don't have to.
That is nice.
You upgrade stuff so that you can do more things and get bigger trees and stuff like that.
Yes.
But once you've got your tool set, your tool set.
Oh no.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. So I think that was really well done.
You get
that.
All your tool set. You get your tool set in like the first minute of the game. You just wander around and pick it all up, and you use the same thing to chop down trees and break rocks and get the aluminum rods and stuff, because the fun part is not constantly fixing your fucking tools. The fun part
is going
around and getting stuff and exploring. And I think the developers of this game figured out, like, hey, let's give the people what they actually want and cut down on some of that nonsense that people don't really care about.
Yeah, I mean, I got rid of all the poison shit.
Yeah.
That was frustrating, though, because you could only see it at night. So you only knew where it was by when it was glowing at night. So to find where it all was.
Oh, you're talking about like clearing away the toxic sludge.
Yeah, so you've got to clear away
the
toxic
sludge.
I don't
know what you're talking about. I wonder if you had different kinds of toxic sludge.
No, there was something glowing in the sky in the nighttime. So it was easy to figure out where it was. Yeah, at nighttime it glows, so you can see it. During the daytime, it's not quite as obvious. You can find it, but it's easy to see at night. So
I think you might be referring to something other than what I did. But
no, it's one of the first missions in the game. You have to go and
clear out the area.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So, but obviously during the day, it wasn't as easy to find. So it took me a while to do that. But
I guess
in the meantime, during the day, I just went around cracking rocks and chopping down trees and getting loads of supplies and stuff.
Totally.
Were you 90% in the mech or... You all
I mean, nearly holy all. Yeah, we're going to say holy all the time in the Mac.
Yeah. I bet that I did look to see what other people said, and they said there is parts where, like, you have to become the dwarf and, like, go into mines and do different things as well. Mm. So there is...
Yeah. Sure.
The dwarf
will variety ones. Yeah, sure. And I like also, again, along those same lines, like... you don't have an energy level you have to constantly keep track of, which Stardew Valley does have, and other games like this do have. Again, you know, that mechanic makes sense in Stardew Valley. I don't think it makes sense for every game. And so for these developers to go, let's see, which parts do we want to include and which do we not? And they said, never mind about energy levels. You could stay up all night if you want.
What they did was get rid of all the tedious shit.
Well, a lot of it,
That's frustrating. And so to keep all the kind of fun stuff, that's all right. And I did play this for way longer than I expected.
Yeah, I did not uninstall it. I'm going to keep playing it, I think.
No, because these aren't usually my types of games. You know what I mean? I'm going to be totally honest here.
Yeah,
we know.
And whether I'll play it again is up for debate. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. But I did way more than I was expecting. You know, I built my sort of upgrade shelter. I built all my machines. I was getting all the stuff I needed to do that. And then I could get better stuff and chop down bigger trees.
Yeah. Yep. I liked as well the building. You know, you build it like how you place it in a certain spot. Yeah. You don't have to manually do each little bit. Like, you just press it, build it, build.
I like the fact that even if you don't have enough materials, you can still say, here's where it's going to go. Because, again, Starfield doesn't allow you to do that. So it's just sort of like kind of keep track of, like, I'm going to put this over there when I have enough stuff to build it.
Yeah, we played Lego Fortnite, and that was so janky because, like, you do 99% of it, and there's a tiny bit you can't see. It's, like, under the tower or something, and it's that bit. And it just was, like, incomplete. Yeah. And it was, it was just
fuck
so fussy.
It was a little bit weird that you build it then build it, if that makes kind of sense.
It is, it's a little weird.
It's a little weird, and it was a little
especially
bit,
if you're used
you know
to
what
just
you're
like
doing.
Build like put it, yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, why is he not filled in? What's going on?
Well, I feel like they've done that, though. If you accidentally click it, if you accidentally click it, you go, oh, actually, I guess you can always back out of it.
Well, in some cases,
this game is very forgiving.
It is very forgiving. I would say the music is good, but not great. I didn't mind the music, but I felt a little over the top with the dramatic, like, I'm like, whatever. But the thing I like about it, and Unshrouded does this too, if you have the magic chests, they don't do it with the standard chest, but that's okay. It's something to aspire to. When you're crafting stuff in the workbenches, it'll pull your materials from your crate, so you don't have to have it with you, right? And that's just smart, because again, Starfield, that would be nice if we could do it that way, but it doesn't. Come on, Bethesda.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, well. By the way, that just reminded me, and I never mentioned this earlier, and I know I've been harping on a little bit, but the music in Scarlet Hollow, by the way, is excellent, can I just say? And it fits. They have
orchestral,
different.
Or
yeah,
it...
totally, like almost like a full film score. So each scene has its own music, you know, and it totally fits. You know what I mean, to whatever's going on screen.
And that's cool. I would say the thing that one note I put down about Starfield I didn't say is that I feel like composers are so beholden to like traditional orchestral instruments. Starfield's a great example when they could have and they should have a soundtrack, a score that uses electronic musicians. Like, there's so many talented electronic musicians they can bring in. What if the Orb did some tracks for Starfield?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Like, it bums me out.
Justice music while Space Game played. That'd be amazing.
There's all sorts of groups. There was a Terminator 2, I think it's one of the best soundtracks ever, because it's not just traditional orchestral music. It's a lot of
God,
electronic stuff, too.
No,
and
yeah,
it fits Terminator 2. Like, futuristic and all that stuff. And so for so many games to rely on what's been done in terms of music is just frustrating. I'm like, evolve a little bit, people. Come on. All right.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not entirely sure whether it's all orchestral in Scala Hollow or not. Now I can't remember, but I just know it fit. It all fitted to whatever was going on.
That's cool.
There you go,
all right, so anything else to say about Lightyear Frontier?
No,
one thumbs up.
Thumbs up from me. It's a thumbs up from me too.
Thank God Chinny's not here. He would definitely be giving a thumbs up.
I don't know. I don't know whether he would.
Well, Chinny, you need to let us know. We should demand that Chinny give it a try, because it's on Game Pass. Yep.
I've got two suggestions for next week.
I was just going to ask. Go on.
One is Evil West, which looks pretty good. Evil West. And the other one,
action role-playing game.
Yeah, is Open Roads. Open Roads, which is kind of a bit of a emotional storytelling game.
Let's do Evil West. I don't need any
Evil West
stuff. Yep.
Okie dokie.
It's Evil West, people. You heard it here.
Evil West.
Evil West.
And that's what
all right,
play.
So that's Play My Game, bitch.
Yeah, have you got any other games to talk about either of you two?
I don't. Ben, got anything?
Ben?
Not really.
All right.
Well, in that case, shall we do Discord questions first?
Let's do some Discord. I posted a couple hours ago and we got some questions, so how about that?
We did.
Stu, you do the honors.
I will. So first question is from Sly, and he says this: what game had a bigger and better launch, Lethal Company or Helldivers? Now I'm going to be totally honest, I have no idea what Lethal Company is.
Yeah, I have a student who won't shut up about Lethal Company. Go ahead, Ben.
I know of it, but I don't know about the launch, really.
Yeah,
so
the sense I get is that it is a kind of a building game, kind of a horror game. You're basically going into these, like, alien worlds, and you are... It's a cooperative game, four players. It's horror, survival.
Selling
scrap.
Yeah, this is meant to be really fun to play if you've got a few mates.
Yeah.
Meant to be a real good
time. I never
time.
Played it, but it looks interesting. But I think it feels like, I mean, first of all, you know, that's not my kind of thing. The horror thing just bugs me. I don't want that kind of tension. You know what I mean? Which, to be fair, like, whatever, I shouldn't let that limit me, because I'm sure there's stuff in here that's fun, but I don't know. I just I couldn't commit.
I tell you it would be hilarious to leave a company, like, if you've got like four of you and one of you just, because I know this one's meant to be quite brutal, like, because you all use walkie talkies, so as you go down, you go, all right, go down there. And also, you'll just die, Eric. Like, you get your head chopped off by something. And then Stu and me just like, what the hell just happened? Right. And then you're trying to collect, like, scrap and take it back onto your ship. But, like, 9 out of 10 times, you just don't make it. You just die in the stupidest ways possible.
Right. That's, and it seems like one of those things where you're weighted down and you can't move too fast and the thing's behind you or whatever. And it's like, I think having people with you that you know and can communicate with is going to take some of that tension away. And because I don't have a reliable source of that, I'm just like, I don't think it's for me.
I like it, though. It's only a tenner, so it's not
bad. So this is Lethal Company, then?
This is what we're looking at here, Lethal Company.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a more indie version, doesn't it? Helldivers 2, I guess.
Sort of, but Helldivers is so much about the combat. The objectives are just like push a button. Like, that's it. Like, that, it really is just killing. And I think this is much more about surviving, running away, sneaking around and that sort of thing. So,
right.
I don't know. As for the launch, I mean, it's hard for me to judge because I'd say Helldivers 2 had better PR in the people.
Well, it's a Sony game. It's a Sony game.
I'm talking about my life in terms of the people I know. I had one student hucking me about Lethal Company. And it was Chinny and Antonio who were like, come on, get Helldivers. And I finally did. And I'm like, yay. So, I think if they really wanted to get me, Lethal Company should hire more people around me to get me to buy the game.
I know Lethal Company's servers were better.
I'm sure.
Like, it was just like anything could run it, basically. Right.
Sure. I mean, but it's much more stripped down in terms of the graphics.
I'm not blaming Helldivers either, though. They did not know the demand was going to be that extreme.
Oh, sure. And Helldivers, I mean, I played some with Antonio this week. It's so much fun. What we said, though, about needing people much better when you're playing with someone you know. But then we also had two randos and they just kept going off on their own and we're like, motherfucker, we're getting slaughtered here, we need you. And then we finished up and it turned out we were on a hard mission, so I was like, oh snap. So that was crazy. Helldivers 2, I'm loving it.
There you go.
That's not really the question, but nevertheless.
I do think that Helldivers has had the better launch in the end, but it was a bit shaky to begin with. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I think but they're responsive as devs. I mean, they're doing such a good job of, you know, putting in.
They are.
It's just, you can feel the developers showing up every time you play the game. In other words, there's like daily things you can buy in terms of capes and helmets and shit. Nobody cares about that much, but there's these missions that are just for you, and then there's missions that are for the whole world. And I think I mentioned last week, we didn't make it to one of those missions. And meanwhile, there's one of these missions that's like, take over this planet. And, you know, when you start playing it, it's like 0.0003% liberated. And you do one mission, and it's like 0.0004% liberated. And you're like, this is going to take forever. But not if everybody's doing those same kinds of missions, right? Meanwhile, I did one mission on this group thing, and then the next, I didn't log in for like 5 days. And the next time I log in, it's like, you helped this mission, take your reward. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve that.
My life's been so busy at the minute, I've like just not had time. But listen to Chinny talk about it. And then, like, my friend, he spoke to me. He's like, I was like, oh, what you done this week? And he says, dude, I spent the week and a half just sweating Helldivers. And he just, you know what? The passion, you know. It's very rare you hear passion that strong. And literally, like you say, in my life as well, everybody's saying, dude, you have to check this out. It's so... Yeah. You know what it says? Even when you die, you're just like, well, that was the stupidest death ever, but it was hilarious.
Right. You get to laugh at yourself. They bring you back in right away. Even the randos who don't care about you, like, they keep their eyes on it. And like, as soon as someone... Yeah. In fact, most of the time when someone in the squad dies, I can't even bring them back to life because someone else has beat me to it. So, like, that just goes to show how quickly people do that. And it sucks because you lose your special weapons. You have to go back and find them or call them in again if you can. But nevertheless, I just can't say enough good things about Helldivers.
About you, Stu? Right. You still not tempted?
Nope. And he has got a second question. He says, and why do AAA studios... I mean, this is kind of a segue. I like what he does here.
Yeah.
Why do AAA studios keep releasing bug-filled crap shows of games? See what he did there, bugs. Bug-filled crap shows of games like the re-release of Battlefront Classic Collection because they can, because they don't
make money.
They don't care.
Money, of course,
it is. They don't care.
What's the downside for the company? I don't understand what would be a downside for the company.
Yeah, and at the end of the day,
makes them look bad, or
those bosses, if they say it's getting done in 6 months, it's got to get done in 6 months. So if you get eight, they don't give you that time. They just say, no, bro, we gave you six.
I do feel like long-term it does damage the company eventually, but I think short-term, they just look at short-term games, don't they?
I'm gobsmacked by this Battlefront one, though. Like, it's basically the same game with just online play, and I just
Right, of course. If they remastered the original Battlefront, that would be something else. But they're not going to do that. But it is.
I'll tell you.
First of all, EA. Are they really going to have much of a stain on their image? Like, how much more can EA's image be stained?
But you say that. But then Capcom is a huge company, and look what they've done with Resident Evil. They've done absolutely amazing remakes of those games.
And are they making significantly more money than EA?
Well, no, but they're way more respected, though, aren't they? And they possibly they are. Who knows? But they're a company that cares
the
about
EA
the
bosses sitting there on their yachts drinking their champagne, going, "Are we respected or are we not respected?
Right. It doesn't matter. It's about getting paid or being respected." Most companies are going to be like, "Let's get paid. Fuck respect." Now, I agree with you, Stu. That's what I want from my companies is to treat me with respect as a consumer. But on the other hand, I don't really begrudge EA any more than I begrudge, I don't know. The question to me is, how do they respond to the anger that comes from players? Because I think, you know, we all know that From Software is like Hello Games, I mean. From Software is fine. I don't have any gripes with them. But like,
From Software do great games.
That's fine. But Hello Games, like they are the gold standard of recovering from a terrible game launch. And I think that is the sign of a really good company. And I don't know that EA is good or bad in that regard. I don't think of them as being terrible or awesome. Yeah. And I definitely don't share the hate that a lot of people have toward Ubisoft for requiring the Uplay platform and all that shit. I couldn't care less, to be honest.
Yeah, for me, it's fool me once, shame on me. Oh, shame on you. But then once you fall for it, when you see an EA purchase coming out, just think. It's an EA title. Are you actually going to risk it? Like Battlefront. Right. Battlefront. I have not bought a Battlefront in years. I wait till it's like basically free and then I'll give it a go. Because, day one, the servers are going to be trash. It's going to be buggy and there's microtransactions shoved down your throat.
Right.
And to be honest, Blizzard, I used to love Blizzard. But like that Overwatch 2 has just completely burnt it. And now, Diablo 4 came out, I was like, dude, I am not touching that because I just have no faith.
That was smart. That was the smart move, obviously. Yeah.
So again, that comes back to my point of the long-term damage
That's an example of how I think Blizzard really shot themselves in the foot with Overwatch 2 and then following it up with Diablo 4. I feel like it's going to be really hard for Blizzard to come back from that. Because I don't usually care about this stuff, but I cannot look away from all the things people are just constantly hating on Blizzard for. And I like Diablo 3 as far as it went, but with Path of Exile, there's no reason to play Diablo at this point, in my opinion. Like, just play Path of Exile. It's free. So, all right, that settles that.
Okay, that settles that. Okay, what's the last piece? This is from GH Rocker, by the way. That was from Sly. I should have said that's from Sly, so thank you, Sly.
Thank you.
GH Rocker says, what's the last piece of media you got you fired up like, hell yeah, let's go, I can take on the world. I don't know about this.
Like thinking about music or movies? Or like?
I guess music, movies, TV show, I guess any of those things, really.
Yeah,
book,
don't really fire me up.
Literature.
I'd say there's Spider-Man, you know, Beyond the Spider-Verse, the second one. I don't know if you watched that. It's the animation.
Yeah.
The first one, I watched it and I was blown away. The second one, I was like, dude, I need to see it. And I'm not going to spoil it, but like the ending for that, I was like, I just remember all of us like going, holy
moly.
Like that was the most intense. Like, you know, it's good when like a week later, friend is ringing you up and he's like, hey, dude, I just need to talk about what we witnessed.
I think it is the Karate Kid effect, because I'll never forget seeing the Karate Kid, the original, way back in the day in theaters. And like everybody coming out of the theater was doing a little crane kick. So stupid, so unrealistic. Doesn't matter. We were all just pumped. You know what I mean? And I think that it's been a while since I've seen a movie that did that to me.
Yeah, so I agree. I think like Rocky's one of those movies
Where
you're like,
right.
come out feeling credible.
Adrian! Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. I think if Chinny were here, he'd be saying Spider-Man 2. I think that's what he'd be saying.
Really?
Yeah, because he fucking loved that game, didn't he? And he loved all those massive boss fights and the scale of it.
I
do think...
Music-wise, the one that I've actually, like, religiously followed was there's a guy called Fred Again who does like different sounds and stuff and Skrillex, and there's a song called Welcome to the Jungle, and that song for me was like, it started during lockdown and I was just started listening, and obviously it was pretty rubbish, and then there was this rumored song that got played, and I remember the first time I heard it I was like, whoa, what is this song? And all of our friends, we all got addicted to it, we had it on like the dodgy downloaded versions and all. And then he goes, right, I'm actually going to announce it down in London. It's like 3,000 people only. It was sold out within 10 seconds. And like, I remember we joined his Discord friends and we were like, hey, bro, thanks. We hope everyone has a great time, but we would love to come down, but we live 3 hours away. But if we've got a spare ticket, we'd do it. And like, Fred Again actually messaged and was like, here's free tickets, come down. So he drove down from work to hear that for the first time. And then like, all my friends, because we saw that, I said to my, it was me and my brother and a friend called Josh, and we were like, wow, this is what it's all about.
I assume you've heard Leave Me Alone, one of his latest tracks.
Yeah. Well, there was a song called Adore You that he just...
Everybody.
Yeah, there's a song called Adore You, and during that time period, it's like a beautiful song about one of his sisters who's struggling I think she has got disabilities and stuff. And that song, I was again getting addicted to it, following everything he did. We heard it at Glastonbury with like me, my brother, his wife, my friend. And you know what it was? It was like the passion there. I just sat there, like, it was that much passion that I just sat there, like, I don't get very emotional, but I could, you know.
You were crying.
It was like a spirit, you know, it's very rare you get a spiritual feeling. And I'm like, dude. This just felt like this was meant to be, like,
that's awesome.
All of us being.
But he's massive. I mean, Fred Again is massive.
Oh, he's
now,
huge now. Yeah. He's the last artist that really got me hooked.
I remembered one. There's a group called Arrested Development. They did that song Tennessee way back in the day. You remember that?
Arrested Development.
That was a classic. They have continued to make music, and some of it's really good. They have a song called Yes Again, which is like, God, I listen to it a lot on my way into school because it's really good for pumping up. When the hard stuff comes, will I be ready? Yes is always my answer. Yes is always my answer. Everything I've been doing is building to this moment. Yes is always the answer. It's just so good and positive, and like, you know, it's all about like, and I had a teacher come at me last year. It had just come out, and she was like, you know, I'm feeling so drained. I'm like, listen to this song real loud. And she wrote back after like 20 minutes. She's like, yeah, that song's awesome. Thanks. I'm like, yeah, you're welcome.
Arrested Development.
I think Yes Always might be the name.
I'm gonna give it a go.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, by the way, is a song that always makes me feel sad.
You suck and you can't do anything right.
I know. Song that makes me feel sad, which is Dry Your Eyes, Mate by The Street.
Okay.
And what a tune. I mean, have you heard this? Have you heard this, Ben?
I can't say I have. I'm seeing The Streets at Glasgow this year. So,
well, dry your eyes, mates. Right, it's just the most descriptive song ever, and it's basically him breaking up with his girlfriend, and she sort of breaks up with him in a cafe or somewhere, and it's just the way he sings. Like, he doesn't sing; he kind of raps it, I guess.
Yeah.
But the way he raps it, and the lyrics are just so descriptive. I don't know the best way to describe it, but you know when something really does paint a picture.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. It's just one of the best songs ever.
What about one of his other songs? You're fit, but you know.
Well, that's part of if you ever listen to that album, it's the whole story of the relationship with his girlfriend, and that's how it all progresses to him breaking up with her. Yeah. So the whole album's like a story about his relationship with his girlfriend. How it starts out and how it ends. You're fit, but don't you know it? Leave it out. Yeah, well, that's all part of the same album. It's such a good album.
And if we're going to talk about this, we got to mention, I'm going to mention Chumbawamba. I think Tub Thumper remains an amazing song. Because it's got a political overtone to it. We will be singing when we're winning. And so keep getting back up, people.
Yeah. Can I just say, talking of songs like that, Sweet Caroline, who could forget that? That's like in the UK, that is That is a song that gets everybody going.
That is our national anthem.
It is football as well. We played it. We had a, you know, when they did all the street parties during COVID and you were allowed to have one.
Yeah.
That got played, and everyone on our street just lost their shit. You know, some guy had a DJ set up at the top of the road, put Sweet Caroline on. Every single person was singing it. It was mental.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, 3 minutes. We got more Discord questions?
We have. Do you want to start and stop again? Shall we do that?
No, let's do one more question. We'll do in 3 minutes, and then we can restart.
Okay, this is pretty quick. It's pretty quick. Linux2 says, what's your favorite comedians? What are your favorite comedians?
For me, I saw James Acaster yesterday, and he lived up to the hype. He was hilarious. And I'm going on Thursday to see Tim Dillon. He's an American, fat, gay American. That's how you describe him. That's how he describes himself.
Cool.
But yeah, he's really funny. He's always up with, he's always down the middle. He always has the most controversial takes, but he's always, you could tell it's from a place of love, and it's always in the middle. Mm, what about you guys?
Balancing act, yeah. Stu?
Obviously Peter Kay. I'm going to see him on the 18th of May. I have heard of some people though who have said, not told me any details, but said he does rehash some of his old jokes, which I'm a bit sad about.
I saw him in October. Yeah, it's it's okay.
Don't tell me, but I'll still enjoy it, but gotta have some new material, man. You can't keep going on about
it. He did have some new material. He did have a bit.
Can't go about
it's like
garlic.
Itchy and scratchy movie now with 43% new material.
Yeah, and I don't know when anyone likes this person, but I really like Sarah Millican. I think she's just so funny, and she is so way cruder than you're expecting. When I watched her live, when Millie was, like, she'd been on loads of panel shows, and Millie was probably about 12 or 13, and I thought, oh yeah, she'll be fine with Sarah Millican. Then she starts going on about dildos and vibrators and God knows what else. And I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not suitable. Yeah. Very funny, though. Very, very funny.
I've got a lot of comedians that I love. I love Kumail Nanjiani has one album called Beta Male, which is really funny. The part about going to a birthday party in Pakistan is awesome. It's one of the best bits storytelling ever. John Mulaney is excellent. His latest Baby J is all about his rehab, and that was really powerful. I love Wanda Sykes. She's really funny. She's got a couple of Netflix specials. There's a guy named Josh Johnson, I think his name is. He's really good. He's really kind of understated, but really funny, really smart. He has a thing on maybe Peacock. I can't remember what platform it is. But there's also a guy named Shang Wang who's on Netflix. And he's also laid back. If you like Stephen Wright back in the day, you'll like Shang Wang. He's that same kind of laid back kind of dude. He was talking about one time. He's like, oh, man, I had to get home. I had been drinking a lot. And my girlfriend had to get me home because I wasn't in any condition to drive. And then she had to get home faster because I wasn't even in a condition to be a passenger. We were going through McDonald's drive-thru. And she had to keep pulling me back in the car because I kept telling her, the people in the cars behind us want to see me dance. So anyway, that kind of thing. I'm a huge fan of George Carlin and Patton Oswalt. And there's a woman named Aparna Nansherla who's also very funny. And Taylor Tomlinson is the last one I'll say. She's got 3 Netflix specials. Her latest one is called Have It All. And one of hers is called Look At You because she was having sex with a guy one time. And he didn't know what to say. So he just looked at her and he was like, she was on top. And he just looked at her and goes, look at you. And she's like, what the fuck am I supposed to say to that? What a weird thing to say during sex. So, and she's also the host of a TV show now called After Midnight, which is really funny. They have comedians in rotation all the time and they're great.
One of the comedians that I always feel like I shouldn't like, but then when I watch them I think, yeah, they're pretty funny, is, and I hate to say this, Ben, because you're probably gonna not like this, but Michael McIntyre. I do think
no. I saw Michael McIntyre 5-6 years ago. Yeah, he's good. You know what he is? He's a clean comedian. Like, he's not going to rub anyone up the wrong way at all. And that's
even to this day.
Yeah,
whenever we go up in our attic, we pretend there's some women in a jacuzzi up there. we just pretend that because he said that line about over a decade ago about sort of that, like, only the man's allowed to go in the attic, and that's because there's a jacuzzi up there with women in it, you know. And, and the man drawer, everybody quotes the man drawer, don't they?
Yeah,
where you have
yeah.
batteries and like refills for pens that you never use in it, and keys that you don't know what they do. And I think it's when it's relatable, isn't it? I mean, he did
that's it, that's the key.
Sounds
Millie
like
went to see
in the US as well,
yeah. Millie went to see him recently, and she said one of the funniest bits of the show, he talked about COVID, and most people groaned. They're like, oh, God, got to talk about COVID.
It depends on how you do it.
Well, his skit was about Amazon and delivery companies wanting to take a photograph of you with the parcel. Do you know when they deliver the parcel during COVID, they had to take pictures of you so to prove they delivered it. Right. And he said, so he started doing different poses. So when they were taking the picture, he'd be like doing poses. And he said, and if it was a particularly big box, I'd like put my foot on top. So and it was just funny. And then, like, even Millie describing it was funny. You know what I mean? It's like, but everyone can relate to that because we all bloody did it. We all did it. So yeah, Michael McIntyre probably is the last one I'm going to throw in there.
Yeah, for me, Sean Locke. I forgot about him.
Sean Locke. I like
Sean
Locke.
He was on Countdown. I never actually saw his stand up, but I know on Countdown.
Is he dead now?
Yeah, he died, didn't he?
But... it was really quiet. No one knew about it. And then suddenly he was dead. And I was like, what? Yeah, you know, when you're like, what do you mean Sean Locke's dead? What the hell?
No, he had a great, he was the same, very relatable. Had a nice swagger about him. I don't even like my uncle.
It's a bit like this week, George from from Gogglebox, isn't it? George from Gogglebox is dead.
Did he get pushed down the stairs? I don't know.
No, he died in an accident working on a building site doing roofing.
Yeah.
And the guy who runs the company has been arrested on health and safety grounds. Well, but obviously,
fuck that guy.
Negligence. He was only in his 30s, early 30s. He's dead. And I was like,
that's a shame.
You have no idea who George is. Dukes,
I don't know most of these people are that you're mentioning. I know Peter Kay.
Very British.
Seely in the Twitch chat said, where's Chinny? We sacked him because he's fucking shit. So
yeah, he couldn't get the Zoom to keep going. So we got me instead, who also can't get the Zoom to keep going.
So we're all, fuck that, Chinny. He's out of here.
Okay, are we ready for speak pipes?
Yeah. We've got more questions.
Make it quick. Let's go. We got a ticking clock.
Joystick J. I don't know. This is another Chinny problem. Can I just mention?
Okay.
Sex noises.
Are you having a meetup this year? If not, why not? Babies. That's why not. Fucking babies. I've got babies.
But he says he wants to.
I can't leave the house because I've got a baby. I'm chained to the baby.
We will see.
He'll be coming. Chinny will be coming to a meetup with his baby in one of those papoose things. While he's like, oh, I have to bring Rosa with me.
What's the problem with that? Rosa's adorable. Everyone's going to want to see Rosa. Don't be hating. By the way, we have baby goats that showed up this week. Yay.
What do you mean? Just showed up out of nowhere. Just suddenly just some goats.
The goat was pregnant and then she had her babies. They're adorable.
Right. So they didn't show up out of nowhere. What you're saying is the baby goats came out of a mummy goat's vagina. That's what you're saying.
Would you lay off and go to the next Discord question? God damn it.
Well, they didn't show up out of nowhere. There's some fucking stork dropping baby goats for you on your farm.
You're correct, Stuart. I should have said the mother goat had given birth and the goats emerged from her vagina. That would have been a much better way to describe
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ. That's
shut
where,
up and read the next Discord
question. Baby
thing.
Goats come from
shut
you.
Shut up.
Know.
This is what I love about the veteran gamers.
Anyway, final question is off Wimpo, and he says this: long time listener, first time question. To the gaming veterans, what's the? Yeah, that's probably what it sounded like when she was giving birth.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was not muted. Go ahead, Stu.
What's your golden age of gaming? If you had to pick just one period of time. Your perfect years of games that hits you with nostalgia when you think about it. Now, how old would you have been? So there you go. What's your nostalgia years?
I mean, I think of the PS1 as being a moment in time that was really special for me because it was Final Fantasy VII. It was Soul Blade. It was, you know... Nitrous Oxide, it was the You Don't Know Jack games. Those were fun back in the day. But on the other hand, I feel like in some ways we just keep getting better and better with our opportunities of gaming. So I think this is a golden age that we're living in now.
I have my golden age of gaming was probably when I was about 15, 16, I guess, 14, 15, 16. And it was the Commodore Amiga. And it was just games like Kickoff, Sensible Soccer, Obviously, Monkey Island, Another World.
Yeah, the baby goats are on this Twitch stream, by the way.
Oh, they are very cute, by the way.
So adorable.
They are so cute.
And we're not going to get a copyright strike.
No, these are your goats, I'm assuming. These are the actual goats. Yep.
The Duchess's goats, but I'll take credit.
Yeah, they are very cute. Oh, my God, they're too cute. So I'm distracted now by the baby goats. So obviously playing Monkey Island 2 with my brother and his mates and my mates and everyone trying to figure out the puzzles was just kind of like the best thing ever. It was just so fun. And we just couldn't wait to have another go. You know, when you finish playing and like, when are we going to play again? When are we playing again? And I just remember us all sitting there trying to figure it out. And then obviously having massive sensible soccer competitions, kickoff two competitions. And there was another one. What's the one where you throw the metal ball to each other? I can't think of what that was called now. Volleyball? Well, that was really good. No, and you just, you can beat the shit out of the opposing team and something. You get carried off in a little stretcher. Can't remember now.
Not Arch Rivals.
No.
That was the arcade.
But anyway... that's one. And then I guess the other sort of era that really like stands out for me is like around about 2009 to about 2011, when there was just so many great games came out, like BioShock, obviously GTA 4. There was just a shit ton of amazing games in that one period of time.
Yeah.
They're the ones that stand out for me anyway.
For me, it was 2006 when like the Wii... and the PlayStation dropped. But the Wii was really memorable for me because I just remember all of us... Oh, how old was I then? Oh, I was probably 14, around about that age. And everybody would all come around each other's houses with their Wii controllers and we would just play so many different games.
Yeah.
From Mario Kart to Wii Sports to Mario Party. And that era was so good because like even the parents could understand how the Wii worked.
We had all our parents, grandparents, and what have you playing, like bowling and stuff like that. Like, they knew how to, they could figure it out. They didn't need to, you know.
We played with so many different
people. Very intuitive.
Yes, so many different styles of people. And then I'd say when I was got into PC, GayZ and League of Legends. Like, even now I'm playing League of Legends. But that era, like, of GayZ, Gary,
Smart. Oh, God, Ben, can't
sorry,
let
mate.
It go.
Sorry.
Of League of Legends.
Oh, Ben.
Sorry. I'm just kidding.
I know.
Jesus Christ. can I just say, Ian in the chat, Speedball and Speed... It was Speedball 2, I think we used to play more. The original Speedball weren't quite as good, but Speedball 2 was just brilliant. You just say it was so competitive and... It was just so fun to beat the shit out of the opposing player until they like had to be dragged off the pitch and what have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, shit ton of fun. So they were there.
Right.
That was my...
Okay. Yeah, make sure we don't have to keep rebooting. Any more Discord?
I know.
Stuff,
hopefully that's
true.
Just to let you know, Wimpo says his was the Half-Life 1 era with mods, CS, Day of Defeat, Vampire Slayers and Firearms, etc.
Okay.
I'd have been about 14, 15. Big up Stu, Chinny, and Duke. And Ben, he didn't say that, but I'll just put
You know, it's funny. I think it is something to do with nostalgia. Like, there's certain things about parts of our lives that intersect with glory games of gold. It's not just the games themselves. It's also where we are in our lives and, like, who we're around. So I think it's hard to say, like, one age objectively from another in terms of golden age of video games because it's so subjective in terms of where you are in your life.
Yeah, he said, thanks for the decade plus of fun listening. Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And the 7 years of not so fun listening as well.
No, thanks, Wimpo. As a guy who never responded for years as well, it's nice when you do message in because you never know if it's going to end you. Might end up in this show if Chitty disappears.
That's right. No promises, exactly. Anybody. Don't be bugging us thinking you're just going to get on the show if Chitty doesn't show up.
by the way, Quaxel on the Twitch chat has also said Speedball 2. So thank you, Quaxel and Ian, for both telling me that
bring
game.
Anybody on the show. You have to have a yellow shirt.
Where my old memory can't remember shit anymore. So there you go.
Yeah.
Right.
We have got
two speed pipes.
One person, second, two speed pipes.
The second one I sent you is the first one, just to say. I've forgotten
that.
Speed pipe!
It's the way to leave a message.
No, I've started looking at the numbers of the speak pipe so I can put them in order properly.
Yeah, it's my fault. I've forgotten he'd sent one earlier in the week. Good.
All right, so here's the first one. They're both from St. Diesel. This one is Too Hot to Handle. So let's have a listen here.
Hey, Veteran Gamers, it's St. Diesel back again. Today I wanted to talk about something that's going to upset some people, maybe offend some people, maybe a little bit too controversial for the Veteran Gamers.
Uh-oh.
It involves child exploitation, racism, sexism, white people singing and dancing about in blackface. And of course, I'm talking about the movie Mary Poppins from 1964 with Julie Andrews and Linda.
I see what he did there.
I've been reading and stuff on online and watching some videos about the British Board of Film Classification's decision to upgrade the rating on the Mary Poppins movie from U to a PG, which is parental guidance, because of certain scenes in that film, which people have deemed now a little bit too controversial for a U certificate. And I just wondered how you feel about certain things being revised many years after the fact. It could apply to films, books, TV shows, songs. Do you think that there's a place for revising things? I know that people like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas have revised their movies later on. And obviously things are censored on TV sometimes because of content from years ago. So I just wondered, is it a storm in a teacup, or are you really concerned about this stuff, and do you support it? And that's it.
I mean, I'm going to be totally honest, right? I don't think I mind quite so much them changing the rating of something. I don't think I'm against that. I think when you start fucking about with literature or artworks that were done years ago, I don't think it's necessary. I just feel like if that's how it was originally written, whether it's appropriate or not now, or whether people view it in a different way, I don't think you should fuck about with artwork. I don't think you should. I because that's how it was intended by the author at the time that it was written and all made. I mean, I'll be honest, a great example of this, I mean, as this isn't written, but like film-wise, is Star Wars, where Luke kills the bounty hunter.
No, you're talking about Han Solo shooting first.
Han Solo shooting first, killing the bounty hunter.
No, agreed. It was just ridiculous. Everybody agrees
And in E.T., where they pointed guns at the kids flying off on the bikes, they were holding walkie-talkies. Again,
and that's idiotic. And I think that speaks to the fact that a lot of these changes are done by people who are just kind of nervous about not having anything in the story that is untoward or might hurt someone's feelings. You know, this case of Han Solo, the idea, and it comes from the comics code in the 1950s, this idea that the hero must always be pure and virtuous, and they didn't want Han to be...
But Han Solo is a bit of a rogue.
He is an interesting character because he's not purely good.
Yeah.
As they said on 30 Rock, he acts like he doesn't care, but he does. I think that's fine. I think it starts to get a little more dicey when we get into things like Huck Finn, where the N-word shows up like 300 times in that book. And granted, a kid, you know, in the United States, you know, an African-American student reading that book in a class is going to have a weird experience encountering this N-word over and over again. Now, I think that's a good reason to maybe not include that book in a class, but
correct.
I definitely don't agree with
agree.
Like they. And again, there were some guilty, I think mostly white liberals, who were like, let's release a version where the word slave is used instead of the N-word. And that's just silly because they're trying to have it both ways. And I don't think that makes sense. I think most of the time when there are these efforts to, you know, change things or tweak them or take them down. I mean, you know, look, Dr. Seuss's estate decided they were just going to stop publishing some of his books. And I think that's a good thing because If I Ran the Zoo was one of the books. And I mean, Dr. Seuss is awesome. He wrote some very fun, playful books, and they helped us with rhyming, and his meter was on point. There's videos of people rapping his books, and he's great. But in If I Ran the Zoo, it said, I'd go to the lands of Zomba Matant with helpers who all wear their eyes at a slant. And it's like, okay, you know what? That's not cool. And it's a good idea to not publish that book anymore because kids today have a lot of options and they have other Dr. Seuss books they can read. They don't need to be reading the horrible racist Dr. Seuss books.
Yes. No, I agree. I mean, and just kind of just say, I don't know whether this is true about the blackface in Mary Poppins, because the chimney sweeps, they have They're covered in soot from being up and down chimneys. I don't think that's anything to do with blackface.
It's not like some Justin Trudeau blackface type stuff. And it's certainly not meant to play on those racial stereotypes. I think it's just the type of... I think it's people are so scared to have any media out there that even... it is blackface, but it's not blackface. You know what I mean? Like, it is a white person with black makeup all over their face, but it's not.
Because they work in a chimney. The chimney sweeps.
Right. And so it's this thing of like, well, we didn't mean to do it like that, but it does kind of look like that a little bit. And it is about context. Ian is correct that removing it from context. But I think this is a question of corporate profits in a capitalist system. If there's people if you're worried that some families aren't going to bother buying this because it might seem racist-ish, then they're going to do what they can to try to fix it.
That's how I feel. If someone's going to do if you're going to do something that's controversial, or maybe not controversial, but it's even today's standards, you're not up for it. Just know, I can just switch it off and just walk away.
Don't read it.
But if you have to force it down my throat, like you're saying, like a book at school, I can kind of see there. But at the end of the day, if a person feels uncomfortable, they could just say, I bet you've had it before, Duke, where someone says, dude, I feel quite uncomfortable with this situation.
I just had one with a movie that we're watching. Their parents signed permission, so I'd rather my kid didn't watch this movie. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I can find something else to do.
Each their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A great example of this, by the way, and this is probably going back about 3 or 4 years ago, Delirious by Eddie Murphy was on either Netflix or Amazon Prime or one of them.
It's a problematic special, and so is Raw.
It is.
It's funny, but it's... God,
it is, the first joke he makes is about homosexuals, and I was just like, I was sat there, and I'd forgotten how bad it was, and Kay's like, you found this funny, and I'm like,
right. See, that's the thing, is that like Delirious, 15. I can take or leave Delirious. There's parts of Raw I want to watch over and over today. Not so much the part about him going to get some woman in Africa, but the part about like ice cream and McDonald's punched in the face and stuff. Like, all those bits are awesome. And I would love to see him redo. Maybe he could keep those parts of Raw and do some new stand-up to fill in the gaps or something, because I just think there's some real gold there.
Bill
Cosby. Bill Cosby was funny as fuck back in the day. Yeah. And it's he's a child molester, by the way. Well, serial rapist, but...
Anyway. Not good. I think what amazes me now when I saw that for that time was like all the prejudice he must have faced possibly growing up, and then he is equally being prejudiced,
of course, and that's
just
like
against another minority. I mean, and it's just
Gaza
like,
has entered the chat, so you know,
hold up.
absolutely. It's really sad. And I think the interesting thing with Eddie Murphy is I think he's matured so much so that when he went back to Saturday Night Live and brought Gumby back and brought some other, he did Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood again, like that shows real growth. And I think that's awesome to see. Richard Pryor did the same thing. And that is the thing I think is most important, is that artists can grow and evolve and reconsider and find better ways to be funny and be outrageous, but not be hating on people who are it's punching down. And that was really the worst part about that. The last thing I want to say about this is the TV show 30 Rock is really funny, really smart. They did a couple of episodes that they have yanked off of streaming services because they did involve blackface. But as soon as the person came, it was making a commentary on how out of it and stupid and oblivious the person is to even get into blackface. So the second that they appeared on the screen, everybody starts yelling at them, take that off. How could you? What is wrong with you? But they still felt like they were they were still having a character on their show in blackface. So Tina Fey, who created 30 Rock, said, you know what, we're going to take that episode down because it is still doing that thing that it's criticizing. And it's a different context, and it's not the same as Justin Trudeau again, but it is, I respect that decision. So
it is weird. I mean, there are some shows in the UK that have been removed from streaming services for the similar sort of reasons. And it's just like,
Well, I have that with Fawlty Towers and Rising Damp. You watch Rising Damp, Fawlty Towers?
Rising Damp.
Again, I think they're absolutely hilarious. But
Rising Damp is problematic. It's problematic.
Context is key. Like back then, when I asked my dad, like, dude, how did you find this funny? He's like, I don't know, I did, but looking back now,
that's the question, is that like, I'm sure if you ask some people whose families came from Spain, they might not have found the portrayal of Manuel on Fawlty Towers quite so funny, because when Paulie is strangling him saying, you dago dodo, I mean,
it's a funny scenario, but the fact that the Spanish dude is always the butt of the joke and he's so stupid and he thinks a rat is a guinea pig or whatever. Again, we should admit, like,
I'm laughing now.
I know. I don't necessarily agree whether we should ban it or not.
Yeah, yeah. Right. If you want to watch it, you watch it, but I wouldn't stick it on primetime BBC One right now.
Right. And the other thing is, I'd say, like, it would be great to have some sort of documentary where we go back and we get to interview if those actors are still alive. They could talk about their experiences. And most importantly, I think, we want to see representation of people of different backgrounds, not only as characters, because we've had that in Fawlty Towers, but in the writer's room and the directors and so forth, so that we can have multiple stories told and not just buffoon, you know, stupid person, whatever.
Yeah, stupid Spanish person.
Mm. Right. Okay, next speak pipe. Also from St. Diesel. This one's called A Meager Prophet.
Hey, veteran gamers. It's St. Diesel back again. This week on eBay, I've sold my original Amiga 1200 machine, which I bought back in 1993.
Wow.
So it's over 30 years old, but I tested it and everything with a few games, and it's still going fine.
There
are ones are going for more than I got for it, but I was quite pleased. I got £177 for it. But my simple question is, what is the oldest bit of video gaming tech that you still got in your possession that's still working? And that is it.
Well, I was going to say my Xbox 360 because we watched Spinal Tap on it the other day, but I told you the fucking tray won't open now, so I guess it's not working, so that doesn't really count.
Nope.
For me, I have my mum and dad's Sega Mega Drive that they had when they got married. Apparently, they were like, the first thing they did, they bought a TV, Sega Mega Drive, played Sonic and Tails together.
Nice.
And they were like, I remember they were saying, oh, we just get rid of it now. It's only worth like a tenner. I says, no, it's memories. It's memories. And then I remember a few years ago, I had to find a SCART socket and it still worked, that bad boy.
Yeah.
Still worked.
There you go. Awesome. I have at my old house in the attic still got, and the last time I got it down, it did still work. I have an original Scramble and Astro Wars from back in the day.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to have a look now.
They were so brilliant. They weren't. They were terrible, but they were brilliant when I was a kid.
Coolest thing you had at the time.
Here where I am, I've still got an original working Game Boy. So the original Game Boy.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Wow, that's classic.
And it still works. Still
black
works.
Black and white.
Yeah, my wife bought it me for our first wedding anniversary, so 29 years ago.
I remember you mentioning that, yeah. That is cool.
Yeah. So there you
go. I'm not really about the old tech myself. Although I do have a typewriter. Here, I'll show you my Smith Corona. This is some classic.
There you go. You just beat your Stephen King,
look at that.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
Is it good clicking? Good clicking.
Oh, it's so good because it's mechanical, it's not electric. So it's like, you got to hit those keys.
Well,
I bring it in. So my
that's how original typewriters work, Duke. I
it was.
Break it.
Right. No, I know. And I tell my students, they're like, can I try it? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, they've only ever used like Chromebooks and stuff. So they're just like pushing the keys and nothing's happening. They're like, what? I'm like, it's a mechanical arm.
You got to whack it.
And I show them how to do it. And they're like, oh my God. And they push and they're like, what? And they're still not getting it. And I'm like, hit it. You got to pound it. And they're
this
is nuts. I'm like, imagine being a secretary. You have to use that all day.
Yeah, you're in court. Those you're in court.
And you used to get what was like Tippex for typewriters.
Yeah.
And it was like a piece
right
of tape.
Yes.
And you used to put it on it, and then you had to hit it over the letter that you'd done
wrong
to delete it.
Yes, totally.
My mum used to write stories. That's my hipster old school tech.
I just wrote a letter to my friend who died in November. I just wrote a letter to his son on it because I got a new ribbon.
Oh.
So I'm like, who's the first person
lovely.
I'm going to write to? I'm going to write to Max.
It is
Shout
quite cool.
Max.
It is quite cool.
Yes, thank you. All right, is that it?
That's it. I think we're done.
All right, let's do some shout-outs and get the hell out of here. Before
it's time for a shout-out. Hey!
Ben, do the honors.
I thank both of you two for having me on. Yeah. I feel blessed. I hope Chinny's having a nice time in Manchester or wherever he's up to.
Fuck Chinny.
Yeah, fuck him, who cares?
I'll big up my my pirates that I play League with. Ruben, he hit platinum. Oh, congratulations, Ruben. You did what the rest of them could not do.
No life. Go touch grass.
Yeah,
see, everyone's always mad. Either if you suck, then you need to get good, and if you're better than me, then you need to touch grass because you try hard and you're in no life.
My brother Dan, he's been sweating, and I think he's hit gold, so congratulations to him. So now we're only waiting on two of our loser friends to catch up. That's Ollie and Matt. If you're listening, step it up, people, step it up. But no, thank you very much for having us, and I'll be back on when Chinny's not on, if you ask me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love the fact that you're assuming it's going to be Chinny who's not here.
Sorry.
Matt W, is that somebody you know, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that's the guy I've just shouted out. He's in iron at the minute in league because he's had a kid and he's come back after 3 years. And yeah.
See, everybody uses kids as excuses. Look at Chinny. We're not going on a fucking... We're not having a live meetup because babies. Talking to the devil. Here he is. Look at him. Bloody missing. He's been lurking.
Is he in the
Mike
chat?
Chin's in the chat, yeah.
Oh, shit. Baby. What up, Mike Chin?
I don't know when you know I've got baby. Shit. Baby. right. Well, I'm going to shout out Ben because he's been way better than Chinny, just saying. And it's been a monster show, can I just say. We've been on forever. And shout out to Duke for keep restarting the Zoom call multiple times throughout the show to keep us going.
That's
so there you go. And all the people in Discord who sent us questions, keep them coming. And let's see how good Ben is. Let's see how much of a part of the show he is, shall we? Because Ben, we haven't had any emails this week, so if someone wanted to send us an email, where would they send it? Have you any idea?
To the Vetri Gamers .com.uk.
Don't think that's quite right.
I just do it on Discord, I do, because, you know, we're modern tech.
Find us on our Discord,
the veteran gamers are no more. We're going more modern. We're going Discord, baby.
Discord. but if you did want to send an email, if you did, you can send it to VGPodcastUK at gmail.com.
VGPodcastUK at gmail.com. I just found some sound effects from League of Legends, so I thought I'd play those.
Okay.
Oof.
All right, they're not
that's
great
just
sound
someone
effects.
Getting stabbed. No,
see, look, Chinny comes. Can I just say, Chinny comes in the chat, and he's, the second thing he says is, "It's got a baby in the sentence." Just saying,
that's fine. Yeah. It's okay. It's a cute baby, and it's a big
baby. I've got baby.
Chinny, right. she can't sleep because she's hearing our voice right now. That's probably what's
baby. Duke, over to you.
Yeah, hang on a second.
Yeah,
like,
shout out to
Duchess
Rosa, by
the
way.
There we go. Here, thanks.
Stu, you are wrong.
Yeah, thanks, Duchess. She's also making the regatta pie for Easter, which is always very tasty. So shout out to her. Shout out to Ben for stepping in. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Mike Chin is in the chat with a baby. Matt
Mike
W.
Chin.
Ian.
Baby.
Ruben, Malby, Fraser, and other people in the Twitch chat, which I don't have open right now. I'm sorry for all the hiccups with having to restart. We're going to look into getting a better Zoom account for one of us or maybe a veteran.
Yeah, maybe
Zoom
we
account.
Can buy one of those. We mentioned this earlier.
Yeah, why
we? Maybe
not?
We need to get Chinny
but for
to
now,
dip in the coffers.
It's all working out okay. We managed to make it happen without having to have too many hiccups. I just had to do a
it doesn't happen very often, to be fair. It doesn't happen very
10
often.
More minutes. As soon as you said that, it flashed up. We got 10 minutes left. We're almost done, so it's okay. Shout out to Bethesda for making Starfield the best video game ever made. No. But it is a lot of fun. I'm having a good time with it. So shout out to everyone.
Yeah, you notice no one agreed with you there, by the way.
I don't care if anybody agrees. I'm used to being a lone wolf who speaks the truth even if other people can't handle what I'm putting down. So
You speak your truth, dude.
Of course I speak my truth. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
Mike says, I pay for my Zoom personal just for the show. Well, fuck that. Stop paying for that.
Fuck it.
Use the
take it out the bloody coffers.
The money we get from the idiots. I mean, very nice people on Patreon.
Give us some money.
Exactly. See, if we had a real reason to have that Patreon money, then it would make sense.
Yeah.
Is that it? I'm done. Are we done? Shout out to everyone who put questions on the Discord. Shout out to Antonio. Shout out to
Antonio.
Amar. And shout out to Rosa because she's a very cute baby.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Get a day off tomorrow because of him.
Yeah.
Woo. Jeez.
Actually, I am off tomorrow, can I just say?
There you go.
Oh, snap.
You got a day off.
There you go.
All right, show's over. No refunds. You heard the robot. Get out.
Won't you?
Enchantment!
I just fell on my bottom into some butterscotch.
There you go. Another show done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben, again.
Thanks, Ben.
Good to work with you.
It's always fun to have you on.
It's always nice listening to you, but I feel blessed. I feel blessed every time you invite me. So
we are blessed.
Thank you so much. Are you ready, Duke, for the push then before the summer break? This is the crunch period for your students.
At all, actually, it's grades are due Thursday. I have a court appointment on Tuesday. I got to go plead my case in court. And then, my God, is this for your driving time? My speeding ticket.
I didn't know. I begged the court for mercy.
It's not that.
Yeah, that 1 mile an hour.
It was only one mile an hour, exactly. It's 21 mile an hour, though, isn't it? Or whatever
I was caught at 20. If I was caught at 19, then I would have 4 points instead of six. I'm going to ask them to just give me a little mercy.
Just pray you get Stu. Like, Stu as a court would be very lenient. Okay. So,
yes and no. Yes and no. Because, and I'm going to be totally honest with you, what was the speed limit where you were?
20. I was going 40.
You were doing double the speed limit.
Yeah, but it had just been 30 and then 40 before that within like half a mile. So like it very quickly went from 40 to 20.
If you hand them a typewriter letter and say, I have written this letter personally.
I had to really press the keys for this one.
Yeah.
You don't know how good you have it, stenographer lady.
Your Honor, your hair is looking lovely right now.
There you go. All right.
Good luck, dude. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Have a great rest of
Find out
your
next
night.
Week. Hold tight.
We'll find out. If he's angry, we know it went badly.
Nah, I don't hold that grudge for a whole week. Otherwise, I'd still be griping about how I got cut off last week. All right. Bye, everybody. I'm going to stop the stream now.
Bye.
Stopping. Okay. Bye. Have a good night, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to play this Rosa jam again because it's been a minute and I want to hear it again. I might as well keep it on the show.
MC Rosa.
Rosa. Rosa. Rosa.
I've got some rap for you. Rosa, go.
Yeah,
that's what's up. All right, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay, that's enough. No more talking.